listening to the Jim Colbert Show on Real Radio 104.1.
That's right, guys. Here we go on a Thursday edition of the Jim Colbert Show. Thanks so much for tuning in. We do have a fun program set up for you today. Woke News will get you caught up on what's happening out there. Deb will have that for you in just a few minutes. Our buddy Brendan O'Connor will join us, and that's one of those things I strongly suggest zooming in for.
Oh, yeah.
Colbert Court is today, and we have our triumphant return of Mr. Glenn Clausman to the studio.
Yay!
Trivia, Ross Thoughts, Last Call, your calls and texts all day. Welcome to the show. I am Jim. To my left, my lovely and very dangerous co-host, Ms. Deb Roberts.
Hello there.
Straight ahead producer, Jack Bradshaw.
Good afternoon.
Comedy alien, Ross Padgett.
The man, the myth, Jim Colbert is here with us as well.
407, that needs work. It needs work. If you're going to do it, you got to be ready to go. You didn't have your headphones on, your mic wasn't on, you're screaming into an empty room.
What are you talking about?
407-916-1041. You can text us at 77031. Find us on social easily, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok at The Jim Colbert Show. On Twitter, it's just at Jim Colbert Show. And, of course, at Jim Colbert Live, you can find everything from our blog and everything. Order our spices, that's right there
as
well. And you can take us wherever you go using the iHeartRadio app. How's everybody's Thursday?
Friday Eve is looking sweet.
This week has been absolutely glorious.
What do you mean,
weather-wise?
Oh, Wednesday overtime is awesome.
Yeah. Wednesday what?
Overtime.
What happened?
She's talking Friday Eve, forward. I'm like, no, this is Wednesday overtime.
No, this is not Wednesday. This is Friday Eve.
Friday Eve.
When the weather's like this, every day is Friday Eve.
I kind of like Wednesday overtime.
Yeah, you would.
You get outvoted. Guys, you know exactly what that is. Listen, I know that all of you people here, with the exception of Ross, are probably smarter than me, right? I mean, and that's debatable, but you know, you're pretty keen people, right? You really are.
You want to talk high school? You want to talk SAT scores?
I want to know how many of you people.
Yeah.
I want to know how many. I don't know that.
I don't.
It's in the 1800 range, I'm sure.
No, it's not.
How many of you people have been mentioned in a New York Times best-selling author's book? How many of you? Ross, yay or nay?
I think two or three times. Minus two or three times.
Jack, yay or nay?
At least once, probably.
Deborah, yay or nay?
I don't know because my ego's never required it.
Gaze upon me, fools! I am mentioned in a New York Times best-selling author's book, and it is the craziest story ever. And this morning, I knew the book was out about a month and a half ago. I did not order it. I was hoping to get an excerpt on it to see if we were even mentioned.
Right.
And we were.
What do you mean, we?
I will tell you in a second. This is an interesting story. So what do I do every March?
You go play golf in Palatka.
I go up to my...
Hibernate.
I go up to my home, you mother... that's such a good joke. I'd get mad at you if it wasn't so funny. But every March, I go back to my hometown, Palatka, Florida, just about 100 miles north of here. And I play a golf tournament up there called the Azalea Amateur, right? And it used to be part of this big thing, if you go to Palatka's history, called the Azalea Festival, because it's full of azaleas because of the Ravine State Garden.
Yeah.
So it's beautiful. It's a river city. It's really a quaint, beautiful little city. It used to be really, really cool with a thriving downtown, blah, 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 blah. But I love going up there and playing for the week. And while doing that over the last few years, I've met a buddy that I play golf with there every single year.
Right.
His name is Randy, but his nickname is Nutty.
Isn't Nutty the one that you usually pair up with?
Nutty is who I play with when I go up there. We pair up because we're about the same handicap.
And he works the paper plant,
right? And he works at the paper mill.
Paper mill, yeah.
So there's an author. So I was up there 2 years, 3 years ago, right?
Damn
I think it was 2019 before COVID hit, right?
Yeah.
And I went up to play a practice round, right? Because I only had so many opportunities to go up, and Randy only had so many opportunities to play. So I drove up, make plans to drive up in the morning and play golf there. I was left here at 5:30 in the morning to get up there at daylight to play, right? So we're going to the tee box, and that early in a golf course in a real small town like that, it's like Cheers. Everybody checks in to play their daily round of golf. Everybody knows everybody. There are never strangers. And when I say never strangers, from the tee sheet from 7 o'clock to 10 o'clock, everybody knows everybody.
All right.
This morning, though, when we stepped up to the tee box expecting to play by ourselves, a single joined us, and he was walking, which is annoying as hell, because if you're riding, walkers usually slow you down, and we were there to play fast. The book, that guy happened to be an author by the name of Tom Coyne, C-O-Y-N-E, and Tom Coyne is a revered New York Times best-selling golf author.
Oh, wow.
He's traveled all over the world writing books, Ireland, Scotland, playing all the golf courses, all the links courses. And he basically documents this and then turns it into books about the game of golf. This one is called A Golf Course Called America. And he goes around different cities in different little areas, trying to find the truest little gem of golf.
Right.
Right. Little golf courses that are fun. And it turns out that our paths crossed that morning at Palatka Golf Club in 2019. And he writes, and I'll just say this because this is really kind of this is very hometown to me. So I'll just share this. Indulge me for a quick second, right? He writes,
"What?
No, listen, Ross, you'll love this, right?"
He writes, "I'm laughing at what Dub said."
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I was going to turn my mic off.
He goes, "I arrived at dawn, but the first box was already busy with push carts and practice swings. When he walked up, he said, I saw a man with a bushy red mustache and jeans." At the golf course. You don't play golf in jeans usually. That's a small town thing. And the guy's arguing. This is nutty going, I told you I got to be done by 11. I'm on graveyard all week and I got to be in bed or I'm screwed. And I remember this conversation. I remember Nutty telling the starter I got to be out of here because I got to be home. I've been working all night. Dude came from work to play golf at 7 o'clock in the morning so they could go home and sleep and get up and do it all again. And so he talks and goes, you're on graveyard all. And he goes, Randy was sharing a cart with his buddy Jim.
Hey.
He goes, and I imagine being paired with an unknown single had stirred some protest. I assured him that I wouldn't slow him up. So he goes, and Randy actually talked to him more because he lives there about the round while I was playing. But at the end of the thing here, he says, he gives me a quote here. He goes, the people here are hardworking, good country people. You can be in the big city in an hour, but it's better here. Jim lives in Orlando, but he's here today. The place always pulls you back.
Oh,
kind of cool, right?
Oh, yeah.
So anyway, and that's in a book by Tom Coyne, A Golf Course Called America, 50 states, 5,000 fairways, and he tells all the stories. It's kind of cool.
How about that? Congratulations.
Kinda
and it
cool.
goes back to what you said yesterday about you should be nicer to people.
I don't know that I was that nice to that guy. Maybe that's why he didn't say anything else.
Oh, right? Exactly. The point being, you never know who you're dealing with.
Yeah,
right?
You never know, man.
Just like when, if you get slighted, out in the world, a lot of people don't realize, well, you have a 100,000-watt megaphone that can be a personal story that everyone is about to hear.
That's so crazy, though. But I remember meeting him, and I didn't even ask what he did, because it's so rare that somebody would walk, especially that early in the morning, and even be in that city, like on a Thursday, playing golf. And he's like, yeah, I'm a writer. And really, to be honest with you, I didn't think much of it. I didn't have my phone on me. We were kind of playing. I didn't really look him up until I got home, and I was like, damn, this guy's for real. And then I waited. Sure enough, he released the book, and I just saw the excerpt this morning. Kind of cool.
Have you called Nutty and say, shoot?
I just texted him this morning.
Did you?
I said, you're a superstar, buddy. I knew it the whole time. Look at you. All right, 407-916-1041. There's a new show out there, Deb, I think you're going to love.
Oh, yeah?
I'm going to drop this bomb on you.
Does it involve cartoon people?
No, it doesn't.
Shut up.
But it's close.
Encanto was good.
It's on Nick Jr.
There's always good
Never
shows
seen
now.
It.
It's on Netflix, you pompous asses.
Thank you.
Leave her alone.
They have kids programming,
you.
Too.
That's true, Deb. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
So you guys know that Deb's a witch, right? Everybody knows that? and she lives in a hollowed-out tree in Winter Springs.
That's the other side to the animated coin,
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, there's a show. I just
Mom
saw this.
Dora, thank you.
She likes cartoons, but she's a witch.
We've run the gamut of all the shows that we can, they're smartening up, by the way. They're only, Yellow Jackets, by the way, is incredible. Dexter, but they only release those now every week. You can't go in there and just crush the entire season.
Which is such a great way to help you kind of gauge, because I have self-control.
The Great British Show is over. That final just happened.
Show?
Yeah, Chase is now all, we can talk about that.
Yeah.
Chase is on Alter Ego, saw that last night.
Yeah.
But this show actually is something I think you'd be interested in, and I watched the first episode of it last night. Have you guys heard of the new Netflix show called Elves?
Negative.
E-L-V-E-S. Elves. But it's not.
Let me guess. Is it a holiday show?
So, believe it or not, it is a horror holiday show.
Oh.
So, this is not your cute Smurf elf. This is the actual. This actually is pulled from a Danish show or a series called Nisser. N-I-S-S-E-R. And I think I was talking to Deb.
Yeah.
Nisser is like. Well, elves aren't necessarily charming and cute.
No, Disney really Disneyfied it. You know, Scandinavian countries, they still very much believe in trolls and elves and these creatures you don't F with.
Well, they
generally
should grow up.
Well, no, it's really cool. So
it's part of their lore, folklore.
Yeah, in that folklore, it's really interesting, right? So we watched the first episode of it last night. You have to watch it.
Yeah?
You have to watch the first episode for sure. I'm watching the second one tonight. We kind of fell asleep going into the beginning of it. But man, it's kind of a cool thing because in the first like 6 or 7 minutes of the show, you realize you're not in for a normal show that stars elves.
So they're not going to be farting glitter.
Yeah, no, Will Ferrell's nowhere near the production.
Okay.
It's a really cool show. So check it out. It's called Elves. Actually, I believe it's the 7th highest trending show on Netflix right now.
Heck yeah, more international love.
That's right, and it's overdubbed. Is that what they call that?
Dubbed, overdubbed,
they dubbed,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
They dubbed their voices because it's in, Danish.
Yeah.
Danish is a language, so it's in that kind
Ooh.
Of language.
What caught your eye?
Well, what happened was, buddy, I'm just always looking for something new to watch. And after a while, you get tired of the murder mystery stuff because we kind of played that game out. I think a lot of people have.
Right.
And when I saw this, I was like, well, let's check it out. And then what I did was I researched it and it said Christmas kind of holiday horror. So it's not necessarily, because it's set for Christmas.
Yeah, it says a Christmas vacation turns into a nightmare for a teenager and her family when they discover an ancient menace that stalks their island getaway.
Pretty darn cool.
Ooh.
Pretty
Sorry.
Cool.
I like Christmas horror stuff.
Well,
and that's why a lot of places are saying, hey, if you're sick of all the schmaltzy super sweet, this is a great antidote to the usual Christmas fare.
See, I'm with Ross, though. I don't mind the super syrupy sweet, you know.
Oh, I don't either.
Movies that we all know, Miracle on 34th, It's a Wonderful Life.
I just saw 8-Bit Christmas a couple nights ago.
I don't know what that is.
It's
a new one.
It's a new one. Yeah, it's in theaters
HBO?
On HBO.
It's on HBO.
Is
yeah.
it an edgy one, or is it just a stereotypical like holiday feel-good
Ross
candy cane?
Ross said he cried.
I didn't say I cried.
I believe you said you cried.
You are spreading rumors.
Russia,
you said yesterday that you cried.
You cry at long red lights.
Okay. First of all, it's because they're beautiful. So, and their rawhideness really catches my eye. I like a good red light.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I thought the film was good. I wish it was maybe a little bit funnier. But I also know that it's for the family.
But like movies like Bad Santa, they're Christmas movies, but they're also kind of dark. I think they're great, man. I don't have any problem kind of putting that idea on its heels a little bit. 407-916-1041. You can text us at 77031. Deb, what's coming up for news?
Well, unfortunately, Central Florida's overdose crisis has worsened. MLB commissioner says the lockout was, quote, necessary, and two bills could make this dessert the official sweet dish of Florida. We'll tell you which dessert and more coming up during Woke News.
Am I going to be so pissed off I can't see?
I'm hoping.
God. Because they did this before, and they picked something, and they didn't even eat. If you ask somebody and say, what state do you think that, they wouldn't even pick a state. They would say another country. It has no connection to Florida whatsoever.
Okay. Yeah, he's revving up.
I'm winding him up, just going to let him go.
The whole point of this show is to get Jim aging quicker. So by 2023, you are Tales of the Crypton.
407-916-104. It's all you, jackass. And so you're the one aging me. Everybody else is fine.
Can you insult him another way? Not with my name.
I'm like, what? That falls under the... We're okay with the license with that.
Back in a sec with Deb's News and more of the Jim Colbert Show. Welcome back to the Jim Colbert Show, Real Radio 104.1. Thanks so much for tuning in on this gorgeous Thursday afternoon. Got a big show coming up for you today. Welcome back. I'm Jim. Jack and Ross are right over there. Let's get a check on the news. Here's Deb.
And now, it's time for Woke News.
It seems like kind of a misuse of the whole world.
On the Jim Colbert Show.
Woke News is brought to you by Home Loans Radio with that mortgage guy, Don. Give him a listen Saturday when he's also host of the Home Loans Radio Show.
Okay.
A new report released Wednesday says Central Florida's overdose crisis has worsened since the start of the pandemic. There has been 51 deaths a month in Orange, Seminole, and Osceola counties between March 2020 and March of 2021. That is a 28% increase from the previous year. Project Opioid founder Andre Bailey urges residents to please reach out for help if you need it. Bailey says fentanyl has become the most profitable and powerful drug in the history of Central Florida. And while it's already deadly, it's being mixed with other drugs to make it even more lethal. Think of the case. This is particularly in California, where someone bought cocaine and the next thing you know, law enforcement is being called for a triple overdose death.
Right, yeah.
Seminole County Sheriff Dennis Lima is calling for greater distribution of the overdose reversing drug Narcan, more focus on mental health services, and harsher penalties for drug dealers. All right, a homeless drifter from Miami with an arrest report dating back to 2004 is behind bars for the alleged murder of a 14-year-old South Florida boy. 2 weeks ago, Palm Beach Gardens Police Chief Clint Shannon says Simi Lee Williams appears to have no ties to Palm Beach County, so it's a mystery why he was in the community in the first place. A report says DNA from a pair of headphones found near Ryan Rogers' body is what led them to the suspect. The 39-year-old is being held without bond and faces charges of first-degree premeditated murder. Now, while the chief says there's direct evidence linking him to the death of Ryan Rogers, he wouldn't go into details. He also did say that there is no motive for this crime. This story didn't really make a lot of waves up here, but I go through a lot of websites throughout the state. And in South Florida, can you imagine police are just telling parents, listen, just be diligent. And parents are like, well, what the hell's going on? Is there a serial killer? My son goes out for a bike ride on a Sunday evening, doesn't come home. There's no rhyme or reason why this even happened.
And they told him just to be cool?
And they, yeah, they're just, you know, and it turns out this guy has a YouTube video diary as well, which apparently is helping piece together his mode of transportation where he was located throughout South Florida.
Unreal.
Also in South Florida, Tina's under arrest for allegedly threatening a mass shooting at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School on social media. Broward Sheriff spokeswoman Claudine Caro says they were tipped off after an anonymous call around 11 o'clock last night to the regional communications office. But Caro says it was deemed to be a legitimate threat. So they didn't think it was just, you know, the words of a irresponsible teenager.
You can't really do that anymore.
You can't.
I mean, you know, if they're going to say it, you have to pay attention, unfortunately.
You do. Absolutely. Yeah. The teen is being charged with one count of writing threats to conduct a mass shooting. And of course, the threat comes just 2 days after a deadly shooting at a high school in Michigan that claimed the lives of four people, injured another 11, and nearly 4 years after the Parkland massacre. Florida's attorney general has created a state task force to fight retail theft. Ashley Moody says it's a response to the smash and grab robberies we've been seeing in stores, other states, specifically California,
that
Minnesota.
Nordstrom, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, where you have 30, 40, up to 80 people busting into a store at a time.
Look, man, I mean, if you have a weak security presence around there, why wouldn't you do that? I mean, the whole theory of you can't arrest everybody.
Right.
You know, you can't. Why not? I mean, you're breaking into Louis stores. Those stores are eventually just going to close up and go away. Why would you take that? Why would you take the chance
of
having massively expensive inventory ripped off just because 70 people felt like they're going to break your door down and just storm you? What are you going
to
do?
Well, the other thing that they're talking about is filing legislation to make it harder for you to fence those products online. So if you steal from the Louis Vuitton, they're going to find a way to make it difficult for you to be able to sell that stuff online, because that's, of course, what's fueling the black market. You know, you get Louis and then you put it up on Amazon or eBay. Well, Moody also blames prosecutors' decisions in other states to not go after crimes below a certain dollar value for the recent crime wave. The task force is going to create a database to track retail robberies and then help police identify crime patterns. Because a lot of times that retail theft that goes on at like the big box stores, you end up going to sometimes those mom and pop stores in the corner and the, you know, and look at that merchandise.
Look, I learned a while back there are a number of really big retailers. If I said their name, you'd know them immediately. That have a policy that if you see somebody stealing something and walking out, you do nothing. You know, you call the cops or whatever, and you can pull the tape, but you don't encounter them. You don't try to stop them. You don't follow them to their car. And let me tell you, these retailers would have items you would definitely not want that to happen to.
No, but
you could load up a cart with $1,000 worth of stuff in no time and just push it right out the door.
Well, there's a recent case of like a security guard in his 30s being shot and killed after trying to confront the shoplifters. And so if that didn't scare other security or just store employees from going, man, I am not going to lose my life for this store's $30
just
whatever.
But that knowledge, just the knowledge to people who have no morals at all, that they could just walk into a retailer and just steal thousands of dollars worth of stuff with no repercussions whatsoever.
No. All right. I know we get some texting, some listeners who text us and say there is no trucker shortage, but this story says there is a shortage of truck drivers. It's causing or at least helping exacerbate the supply chain headache. So some Florida businesses are so concerned, in fact, they're paying people to get their commercial licenses up front. Trey Williams is the owner of Fleet Force. This is a Winter Haven-based driving school and says several member companies in the Florida Trucking Association are offering to pay people up front to take classes to get their commercial licenses. Now, Williams says for a lot of folks, the $6,500 cost for a driving course discouraged many would-be applicants because
that's a lot of dough.
That is a lot of dough. Now, applicants have to pass a DOT physical and a drug screen and meet qualifications by individual employers, but Fleet Force is vetting drivers for the program, and usually driver candidates pay for the training themselves and get reimbursed after getting the job, but again, now they're actually paying you up front. And I don't know if you guys are aware, but William says drivers with commercial licenses make an average of...
$75,000 a year.
Oh, I don't like your reaction.
Yeah,
that
sounded really close.
Hell, right? Because I was going to say 80.
You want
to
go for the Jim sandwich?
No, I'm just going 80. That was what popped in my head.
By the way, the best sandwich at the deli.
Is the Jim sandwich?
Oh, my God. So delicious.
I'll go fat.
So juicy.
I'll go 74.
Fat's flavor, Jack.
Points, Jack. $78,000 a year.
So hard to dislike.
Okay, while a new COVID...
What else is on that sandwich?
Bullets.
Pride.
Butter chip pickles.
A smear of pride.
Smear of pride.
An animal noise.
This is what about a bite sounds like.
Yep.
But you'll never have to worry about finding a hair in your sandwich.
Dead for the win.
I thought we were supposed to be cool.
We are. That's how we show love.
Is it low sodium? Are we still pretending like that's not an issue?
Not till after the holidays, Jack.
Got it.
My sight's not blurry anymore. We're good.
not after the holidays? Is that what the doctor said?
No. What are you talking about?
All right, just making sure that
I lost weight, fat ass. I did not. I lost weight during Thanksgiving. I didn't waddle back home like some people in this rooms.
Hey.
Time out. You're the heaviest one of the four of us.
Yeah, but that guy gained weight during Thanksgiving, and I did not.
I don't know if I gained weight.
You gained weight. You came in here bitching about your ankles.
I know, like some
old woman in her tights.
I went on a hike, multiple hikes.
I don't know if the heaviest guy could call the other people fat ass.
I can. It's the way I'm built. Fat. I'm big boned.
That's what he said yesterday. I was like, oh, man, he's pulling the Cartman card.
He's a big bone.
Okay, while a new COVID variant has people around the world worried, there's a sign of life returning to normal here in Florida, specifically Central Florida. That's because Orlando International Airport yesterday welcomed the first inbound commercial flights from Brazil
in
19 months.
Get ready, Universal.
Yeah, and Disney. Get those wolves out there.
The manners are about to drop significantly.
Talking about shoplifting.
I think I'll be first in line now.
A tourism official with Visit Florida says there's no evidence yet that the Omicron variant is impacting travel plans. By the way, we have our second confirmed case of the Omicron in the U.S., this time in Minnesota.
Nice.
And it's for a man who attended an anime conference in New York City. So now the governor of New York is encouraging anyone who went to that anime conference to get tested for COVID. Spacewalking astronauts replaced a broken antenna outside the International Space Station today after getting NASA's all clear for orbiting debris. This after NASA called off the work earlier this week, Tuesday specifically, due to space debris. Now, officials say the debris no longer poses a risk. This debris, if you remember, when Russia destroyed an old satellite and a missile test nearly 3 weeks ago, sending at least 1,500 pieces everywhere. NASA, however, isn't saying whether the object of concern was from that event.
I bet.
Meanwhile, beautiful weather. Friday Eve and a SpaceX launch could light up the sky tonight. Officials say the 32nd batch of internet beaming satellites, this batch has got 53, will now fly from Complex 40 at 6:28 p.m. tonight. This comes after founder Elon Musk warned of an engine production crisis that could affect future missions, as well as, I believe it was an email that Musk sent to employees saying Tesla was on the verge of bankruptcy.
What, really?
Yes. Forecasters say there's a 90% chance of favorable weather for the launch tonight.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's perfect outside. The only thing I can imagine is a little wind.
And depending on what's going on at the recovery area, right, yeah. I'm not quite sure where that's going to be.
Would we be able to see that from the windows here?
As long as we can go. I was thinking about that, but we don't face east in this studio,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you're right. I think it's we face more north this way.
Yeah, so. But we'll run around the stations.
Let me get my compass out.
Get your compass ready. Okay, these are decidedly slower vehicles, but still cool nonetheless. The Central Florida International Auto Show is returning to Orlando. Visitors can view the 2022 models, electric vehicles, luxury autos this weekend. There's also going to be a classic collectibles exhibit. The event is being held at the Orange County Convention Center from December 3rd to the 5th. Children ages 12 and under can get in for free.
Nice.
All right, you guys ready?
Four.
I asked those guys. Ross, Jack, you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. Ross, you ready?
I was born.
Because now?
He was born.
This is the part where we frost Jimmy's flakes.
Okay.
Prepare your flakes. Gird your loins, girls. Two recently filed bills could make a dessert the official sweet dish of Florida. The identical bills in the State House and Senate could make, I know you would think, key lime pie makes the absolute most sense.
There is really no other choice for Florida, right?
Well, no, our lawmakers have decided that strawberry shortcake would be the official dessert of Florida if passed.
Like the ice cream
like
bar?
Like Plant City, Florida?
We grow a lot of strawberries. Plant City.
Yeah, we do.
Right up there is Pappy's Patch.
If the bills are approved and signed into law by Governor Ron DeSantis, it would become the state's official dessert on July 1st of next year.
I'm not super mad at that, but I can't imagine there's not a state that already has strawberry shortcake as a dessert. It's such an American thing.
I know, and nobody else has the key lime. So we're the only place that the key lime grows.
I didn't leave it key lime. I just wanted to determine your flake. They're not frosted then.
No, they're fine.
So it's like a cornflake.
It's like,
right
it's like an, oh yeah, no, no, it's like a really bad Pop-Tart.
Oh, with no icing?
Yeah, no frosting.
Ooh.
That's good, though. You're supposed to be sugar-free.
Brown sugar cinnamon Pop-Tarts, they're the best. Don't get me started.
This guy and his processed food jokes are going to get him beaten up. Listen,
well, after
I'm just, animated jokes,
I'm going to hold them down for you.
Forewarning you.
The Major League Baseball lockout was quote-unquote necessary. That's what MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred said amid the lockout that was announced, adding he's hopeful it'll end soon. MLB owners locked out players for the first time in 26 years after both sides couldn't agree to a new labor deal. Manfred said the lockout was needed because he felt the MLB Players Association was not negotiating with any sense of urgency.
Just like baseball.
The players believe the current labor deal doesn't favor them and are seeking several changes.
Yeah, I bet.
All right.
Didn't Max Scherzer just sign one of the biggest sports deals of all time?
Yeah.
Like 3 years, like $150 or $60 million or something, like $45 million a year?
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah. These $100 million plus multi-year contracts are, I remember with A-Rod, it was like, everyone was like, what?
He's the highest paid player of all time.
Yeah, and now it's common.
Especially with, you know, the teams that don't have that. I mean, not everyone can be a Yankees when it comes to having that kind of powerhouse roster with that kind of money.
And then it's like, oh, man, you only get $10 million a year.
Right.
You
know,
like,
God.
What a bummer. What are you, a backup second baseman?
Right, are you going to be okay?
Exactly, right.
You're going to be okay.
What are you, a middle reliever?
Yeah.
All right, actor Alec Baldwin is giving his first sit-down interview since the deadly shooting on the Rust movie set. And this has left me actually with more questions than answers. Baldwin's interview with Good Morning America co-star George Stephanopoulos is set to air tonight at 8 o'clock Eastern. Now, the New York native fatally shot cinematographer Helena Hutchins and injured director Joel Souza on October 21st on the New Mexico film set. Investigators say Baldwin was told the gun had no live rounds, but one of the commercials I saw was that he said his finger was never on the trigger.
Yeah, that's his claim now, is that he did not pull the trigger.
I don't understand how a gun could discharge without pulling the trigger.
Because
you didn't bang it on something. It's
listen,
not a,
And the whole thing where you drop a gun and it goes off, that's such a rare, I don't know that it could happen. I mean, even with a revolver closed, if you drop it onto the hammer.
But if the hammer's cocked.
Yeah, if the hammer's cocked, it's different. But I mean.
Oh, okay.
If the hammer's cocked, it's different. If you could drop it with the hammer's cocked, I guess the shot could possibly do it. But
he never talked about dropping the gun. It was always in his hand. So I still have, like, how the hell could a bullet be discharged without pulling the trigger?
I've shot a lot. I've never seen that happen one time ever.
Well,
you gotta pull the trigger.
If you're interested, again, it is airing tonight on ABC at 8 o'clock.
Can I tell you, I've heard him talk enough. Like, even before this, I just didn't, you know, I've heard him talk enough.
I haven't seen any interviews with it, so, and the piece I saw, the tease, he was crying, the house from Home Alone, this is our final story, is available for rent on Airbnb.
Nice.
This is a pretty cool deal.
It is, but you should know that, it has to be the outside
of the
house.
It's just the facade of the house.
Yeah.
Well, it says the house was made famous by exterior shots in the classic 1990 Christmas film. The Chicago area home is listed as a single one-night stay scheduled for December 12th.
Did we do that for What'd You Do This New, Ross?
I don't know if it was...
You just talked about it.
Yeah, you just talked about it.
Yeah, the Movies That Made Us on Netflix, which is a great series. They do the Toys That Made Us, the Movies That Made Us.
Right.
And when we watched the one, I know I saw it as well for Home Alone, but I mean, they've rebuilt in
a school gymnasium.
Yeah. I know Ross told us about that on the air, but so this is just the exterior, just like The Brady Bunch or Golden Girls
now,
or whatever.
The listing is being hosted by Buzz actor Devin Ratley, who was the older brother of Culkin's Kevin McAllister. So
he's
Buzz
staying
actor,
there as well? Like
Devin
he's waiting
Ratley.
On you?
No, he's hosting.
Oh, I see.
I guess he's the one who's put the property up.
He's part of the house.
Now, what's cool is...
he never left.
Yeah, exactly.
Down the hall, don't use all the hot water.
The $25 stay, that's it. The
$25?
$25 stay will include holiday decorations, booby traps inspired by the film, pizza, a screening of the franchise's latest film, and a new Home Alone Lego set. Booking will be available starting December 7th.
There's no way
Legos
that's $25.
Legos alone cost more than $25.
I know.
$2,500? It's got to be like $2,500.
Let's go $2,500. My copy's missing a couple of zeros, but, you know.
It's got to be at least that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's $750 a month.
Right.
How about $250? Can we go with 1-0?
There's no way it's even
$2,500
for
all of
that. I was
never
that big of a fan.
You can't even get an okay room in Chicago for $250 a month.
A month?
Or, I mean, a night. You couldn't, I mean, you would... That would be a basic ass room in Chicago.
There is a lot of rooms. And Deb, you don't like Home Alone?
No, I love that movie. The second one is, and I like the second one. How many of them did they make?
Three, wasn't it?
Well, they made two real ones.
Now the fourth one.
The
third one was
a turd.
The fourth one just came out.
Yeah, it was a bunch of straight to DVDs.
Fourth one?
Yeah.
Are you kidding?
Yeah. It's about the dog.
It's garbage.
I'm falling for something.
You just, you know, because you can judge books by their cover.
Yeah, you can.
Nice.
Okay.
When it comes to a lot of movies, absolutely.
Yeah.
When it's not critically acclaimed.
This is Sky News, but yeah, it says $25 for guests.
I mean, there's no way that's right.
I don't know.
People are texting in, it's $25.
Yeah, it's $25.
There's a lot of rooms.
It's up to four guests, by the way.
Is it overnight? Or is it just for the movie?
It's one night.
An hour?
It's one night. That's all you get is one night. You don't get to book it multiple nights.
Yeah, for $25, it should be like an hour, like 20 minutes. You go in there and take your pictures and get out.
What the hell do you do in a hotel for 25 minutes an hour?
Well,
a couple times.
Yeah.
With cuddling?
Mm-mm. We don't do that.
That's a bargain.
And
now you all are officially woke. Woke News is brought to you by Home Loans Radio with that mortgage guy, Don. It's so easy to find out if you can buy a home. It's as easy as going to homeloansradio.com. While you're there, click apply now and get pre-approved today. Or maybe you want to find out if refinancing is the great time for you. You also have a chat button there where you can ask those questions of Don. Don is the person you can trust. He knows the mortgage business here in Central Florida. He can help you if it's your first home or if it's your 15th home. You don't have to make an appointment, take time off of work, or stress on I-4. Just go to homeloansradio.com.
Thanks, Deb. 407-916-1041. Text us at 77031. Back with more of the Jim Colbert Show right after this.
You're listening to the Jim Colbert Show.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Jim Colbert Show, Real Radio 104.1, 407-916-1041. Text us 77031. And don't forget, JimColbertShowLive.com. We do have our spice mixes up for sale right now. All three flavors ready to go. Just order away, and we'll get them all sent out to you. That way, you get it before Christmas. You can have it for that gift. They are delicious. Again, just go to JimColbertShowLive.com. Click and order away for your spices today. Welcome back. I am Jim. There is Deb. Jack is here along with Ross Padgett.
Yay! Yes.
Yeah, Glenn Klausman in studio today. You guys excited about the idea of having everybody back?
Yeah, because there's a chance he'll bring gifts.
Yeah, you're right.
Ooh.
He wanted to do the Santa Klausman like every day, every week this month. Like, he wanted to do it today, today, next week, and the week before Christmas. I said, let's do a case this week, and we'll see. Because he's got a hat. He's got the whole thing.
He's got the beard.
That dude loves giving stuff away.
Like, so he might bring pizza. I don't know.
Next Thursday, and then the Thursday following, right before Christmas, we'll do trivia and Santa Klausman for Publix gift cards.
I'm not falling for it.
He's in the giving mood. What are you guys laughing about?
I'm just laughing about how aggressive Jack is over here, like, just trying to cop some free stuff.
He may give it new cars. I don't know.
He's not getting a new car, Jack.
I get mine to Ross.
Yeah. He'll buy you lunch. That's for sure. He'll buy you lunch at a nice place, but he ain't buying you no car for
all
sure.
All right.
Dream on.
I'm glad he's back, though. You know, it's so weird because, you know, we have a lot of people that used to come in the studio, and I remember talking to Amy Drew a couple weeks ago, Amy Drew Thompson, who does Primetime Kitchen with us, writes for the Orlando Sentinel and stuff. She's their food specialist, of course. And in talking about it, I said, you know, hey, in a couple weeks, you're going to be able to come into the studio if you want. And she goes, do I have to? Not in a negative way, but I mean, just everybody's so used to just kind of logging in and doing this stuff from home. They don't want to drive across town, you know, go get out, get dressed, you know, put on makeup, do whatever you got to do.
Hell yeah.
Nobody wants to do that anymore.
Wear pants.
Right. Shoes.
I've seen so many videos of Zoom meetings gone wrong.
Oh, man.
That I do not get on a Zoom meeting without pants.
Because
of that. Like,
listen.
It's like I time it, like I shower and stuff. It's like I will not click on until my pants aren't. Even I'm not getting up from the table, but just in case something happens.
I do the preview thing even because I already look terrifying. So I want to make sure that I look as the least menacing I can look. So I get the lighting right and everything.
You're going to need like a balloon.
I don't know what you mean by that, buddy.
You're trying to look least terrifying. I think you need just like a balloon attached to you.
You mean like I'm a clown?
No, not like a clown.
Mm-hmm.
But like a little boy.
Is that going to disarm him if I look boyish?
Yeah, I think balloons are definitely like, aw.
Oh, yeah.
He looks like it.
We have to talk about your brother a little bit later in the show. Last night, before you went to Phoenix, you thought, because you had your weeks messed up because of your travel, you thought that last week, Chase, your brother Chase Padgett, was on the show Alter Ego. It's on Fox.
Yeah, we already had some callers call in talk about it.
But that's not the case. He was on last night. And it just so happened I was flipping around when we got in bed, which was late, and caught the only part of the show we caught was when they were doing the voting and, you know, and Chase did his thing. And he's amazing. I mean, your brother is a monster entertainer, buddy.
Yeah, no, it's...
And I'm not taking anything from you, because you are so as well, but that guy is a monster entertainer. He looks so comfortable on the biggest stage out there, like he's born to be on national television.
He is always going to be someone who I look up to. I told him that when I saw him out in Arizona, I said, it's in my blood to forever look up to you. And because right now, you know, he's kind of going through somewhat of a rough time in the sense of just traveling a lot.
Yeah, it's
he just moved out of Canada. He doesn't exactly have a home.
What's he doing? Just crashing out there with somebody?
Well, he's out in Arizona, and he would be calling in today. However, he's driving down to Orlando. He's going to spend Christmas with me.
Oh, wow, cool. Really?
Yeah.
That's amazing, man.
Now I got to figure out what to get him.
What do you get a guy like that?
I think I'm going to go all out and try to get a Nintendo Switch for him.
Oh, I didn't know that he gamed. He doesn't strike me as a gamer.
Where do you think I got it from? The problem is that he's also very conscious of his time, so I feel like I might be fueling an addiction.
Well, I mean, he, in that business, you do have a lot of downtime, especially if you perform like at night and he does, you know, one-man shows an hour long, or and he does just one. I mean, you know, like the old Jerry Seinfeld thing. is at 23 hours to kill.
Yeah. So, I mean, I can't wait to see him interact with my brothers-in-law soon to be.
Well, I will tell you the, you know, I won't tell you what happened. I don't want to spoil that if you were unable to watch the show last night, but you know, you can certainly tell the judges have a ton of respect for your brother. So a lot of them are, yeah, you know, Alanis Morissette, Will I Am, Nick Lachey, I don't give a lot of musical credit to. I don't know if I should or shouldn't, but Alanis, you have to, because she wrote one of the most popular albums of the last 50 years. And Will I Am, of course, you have to, because the Black Eyed Peas are amazing as well. So you have to give those two people credit for sure. And both of them, those are the only ones I really cared about, you know, showed a lot of respect. And you could tell that genuine connection as a true, you know, kind of musician, songwriting artist. That was very cool. He did an amazing job. And if you didn't get to see it, Alter Ego Fox, go back and check out his episode. Simply amazing stuff. Super talented.
Super cool.
And cool. That's the thing. Super cool as well. Yeah. A lot of people with talent like that are dicks.
Yeah, I'm always going to have, I'm always going to look up to him. I think that's what I'm supposed to do as a little brother.
All right, JimColbertLive.com. Click over, because Brendan O'Connor is up next, and you can stream the show right there. I don't know what he'll be wearing,
but you want to tune in.
He could be dressed like a merman or Bigfoot.
Or both.
Or just be shirtless. That's next.
Follow Real Radio 104.1 on the gram and witness Mother Nature healing itself.
Like this pic of a coyote on the... Nope, never mind, that's just a big rat.
I am living on Channel Z.
Welcome back to the Jim Colbert Show, Real Radio 104.1. Thanks so much for joining us on this gorgeous Thursday in Central Florida. We appreciate that very much. I am Jim. Deb is here along with Jack and Ross, and every single Thursday around 4 o'clock, we invite our good friend Brendan O'Connor from Bungalower.com to tell us what the hell is happening in the city this weekend.
This is so touching to see you two lost brothers brought back together again.
Now, it was a little puzzling, though, because when I looked down and saw your image on the Zoom feed, I noticed, I was like, well, has this guy been bald the entire time and has the greatest array of perfect wigs I've ever seen? Or did he just cut his hair? What's going on, dude?
It's all fine. I guess I was always wearing a hat or something.
You haven't been bald this entire time.
I have.
No, you haven't.
Okay.
Yeah. Have you really been like that the whole time?
Like, for that, we didn't start. Hey,
there's something wrong with your microphone, buddy.
Yeah, something wrong with your mic.
We hear you, but it's not. It's kind of breaking up.
Can you hear this? How's it?
Yeah,
yeah, a little better.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. A little better.
You're breaking up, Captain.
It sounds like your hair looks.
Oh. Wait. What are you? Hey, Q-Ball, what are you saying?
Hey, yeah, really.
He's part of the club now. We can bust balls like that. So what's going on, man?
So that's what I have to do.
Is this okay?
No. It's bad.
Very bad.
No, it's so bad.
What do you do?
You want to zoom back in?
I don't know.
Or just give us a call, buddy. Just give us a call.
This has worked like every week forever. How do you now he broke his stuff.
How do you mess it up, dude?
Yeah.
How do you do it? Something is wrong.
Yeah, yeah. You got a bad wire.
Let's see.
We took a week off.
Well, oh, there you go.
Oh, good. Whatever you did. Yeah, yeah.
Connect that microphone. Let's hear.
No, what happened? Now you're broken again.
Just give us a call. All right, 407-916-1041. You can text us at 77031.
Think he knows the number?
Do you know the number of the radio station?
I do.
Oh, this guy's killing me.
Yeah, even worse.
All right, let's put him on hold there. Call in Brendan or something like that so we can get you going.
I'll text him the number.
All right, 407-916-1041 until we wait till those guys hook up.
Hey.
I mean, not like that. I mean, or like that. Who cares?
Have you seen Brendan's eyes?
Yeah, gorgeous. They're alluring.
They are. Yeah.
And he is in a tank top today, and it seems to be a self-made tank top, as if he was hitting the gym. You actually look thinner, too. Is he there?
Are you hitting on him?
Hey, are you thinner? Have you lost weight?
I've lost a little bit of weight. I'm trying.
Okay, now what?
Oh, wait, you got to turn your volume down over there. I'll fix that from here. There you go.
Yeah. Technology. Love it.
How you doing, buddy? Everything good?
I can fix it.
Very good. You're all set now.
All right. Sorry. We just wasted half the time.
Yeah, we did. 2 minutes on that. That's okay. What's going on out there, man? I know that people can find you at bungalower.com and find the magazine down in the Milk Audubon Park area. What's going on?
Yeah, well, let's get back to you saying I was attractive. And
I just don't remember your...
That's really important.
I don't remember your hair being cut that tight.
It's, well, I just reshaved it. I have some TV spots coming up. I got to film a pilot next week, so I got to look a little bit better than I have been.
What kind of project you're working on? It's an odd flex.
Mm. Or, I can't tell you much. I signed a little thing, so I can't talk about it too much. But I'll tell you, I'll give you the scoop as soon as I can.
Okay.
Oh.
Is it with a big production company, or is it a big thing, or what?
It is a big thing.
Oh, really? Very
Yay!
Nice.
Hey.
Hey, take me with you. I'm tired of this already.
Hey, we're right here,
My mom called me Gay Fieri.
Oh, very good. So what is happening out there? You know, this weather, as perfect as it is, this time of year, really, it's almost, there's no almost. You have to pick and choose what you do. There simply isn't enough time to really cover it. Give us some things that we have to get to this weekend.
It's too many things to choose from right now. It's kind of crazy. So I just toured this morning. The Morris Museum is setting up for Christmas in the Park. And that's tonight in Central Park, Winter Park. And they set up these beautiful Tiffany stained glass windows, and then they light them.
Yeah.
And then you can hear these choirs singing just for tonight. And so I got to go there behind the scenes and see them setting it all up, which was super fun. And their collection is just really cool, really kind of awe-inspiring. It's like you're in an outdoor cathedral. I'm really excited about that. So you have until like 9 o'clock to catch it, and then they put it all away because everybody in Winter Park goes to bed early.
They do.
It's proven. It is known, as they say on Game of Thrones. I'm going to be at this thing called Slinging for Santa tonight. It's a charity bartending event for the Richard Ulmer Fund. It's the guy that owns the 808 and Stardust.
Yeah.
What's that place where all Coffee. The burlesque dancers are? The other Stardust.
Oh, I got you. Yeah.
It's two Stardust for some reason. You can come and see me at the 808, which is that Hawaiian-themed bar in Thornton Park. You pay $20, and it's all you can drink.
Just okay.
Come and hang out.
That sounds
bring
healthy.
The money to buy people Christmas.
Oh,
yeah. I'll be pouring the drinks. I pour some stiff drinks, so you'll know it'll be good. Disney Springs has their Christmas tree strolls. If you just want something a little bit more passive and shopping, you can go hang out at Disney Springs and see all these really cool, curated Disney themed Christmas trees all over the place. We
That's
were there
cool.
last week. Yeah. It was really, really neat setup. I like Disney Springs. It's kind of a fun.
It's manic. It's manic out there right now, right? There's so many freaking people out there. That's the only thing I heard about Disney Springs that's bad right now. It is when they opened the gates, it just absolutely went from zero to a billion overnight.
Yeah, it's a little bit like EDC. And we went there for the new Cirque du Soleil show. So we, you know, and just try to walk through those crowds, if you're running late for a show, good luck. It was I used my elbows a couple times.
It's like a sea of fat, pasty English kids.
Yeah, with new runners. They always have new running
shoes.
Yeah,
they always, have red shorts on and that milky complexion.
Yeah, red calves as well.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not one to judge milky complexions.
Like, and at 12,
what am I going to say about that?
And at 12, for some reason, all the boys go, Father.
Daddy.
Daddy.
The opposite of that is there's the North Shore Burning Festival. If you don't want to go anywhere where there's tons of people, you can go to the North Shore of Lake Apopka. And the Orange Audubon Society is having their 6th annual festival where you get to go on day trips and hear speakers. And it's all about birds. Apopka goes to the birds.
The birds, yeah.
If you're into that kind of thing,
sure,
I don't know.
Why
have
not?
You gone to the North Shore of Lake Apopka?
No,
have you done that?
Actually, I went to do that. My wife and I went to do the that nature drive. And we went. We called literally on the one day they were open for. They were closed for something, or it was after or something like that. We couldn't go. We were hyped. We wanted to do it pretty bad.
It's cool. If you go early enough, the road is full of like gators and snakes. Migrant workers. It's crazy out there. Are there the Orlando tree lighting ceremonies tomorrow? If you want to see the 64-foot Wonderland Christmas tree at Lake Eola get lit up. You can head on over to the amphitheater. There's going to have some concerts and things too. I think it starts at 5 p.m. with like a Santa meet and greet. And Santa's busy this weekend. I don't know how they're getting Santa to do all these meet and greet things. Well, he's everywhere.
Busy Santas and a lack of Santas.
Yeah.
There's a lack of,
yeah, there's a lack of Santas.
There's a Santa shortage. They figured that, like, wasn't it like 400 or 500 of
700 Santas had died during the pandemic.
700 professional Santas have died in the last 2 years.
Because they're all old conservative people?
No. just COVID killed them.
They just refuse to wear masks. Yeah. All the people who play Santa, they're just like, no way, man.
None of
Christmas
them,
magic could be.
None of them ask for a vaccine.
I might eat a cookie with a mask on.
Right, exactly.
speaking of conservative Santas, Tim Allen's The Santa Claus is being screened at the Popcorn Flicks in the Park, also in Winter Park at the Central Park. It's totally free. You can go and watch him kill Santa Claus and then slowly transition into him.
I will tell you, I think that's one of the more underrated Christmas movies out there. The original Santa Claus is a damn good movie.
Oh, I love that movie.
I like it too. It's a weird elf, though.
Very weird.
They all sound like they're from Jersey.
Yeah, right. It's like they're all accountants.
Failed accountants, yeah. Jingle Jam Community Holiday Party. That's downtown Sanford. It's one of the largest family events to take place in Sanford. They have four music stages, carnival games, vendors, live wrestling for some reason. I don't know how that's Christmassy. And a kid zone, and that's 4 to 10 p.m., totally free, downtown Saturday. Go check it out. City of Longwood having their Christmas parade on Saturday as well in the Longwood Historic District. Have you seen Akira before? This is random, left field.
But yeah, cool. Yeah, her hips don't lie. I get it. Yeah.
No, Tatsuo.
No, it's an anime movie, which maybe we shouldn't be seeing anime movies in person this weekend with that guy from New York.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I don't know. Science on Screen, this is that series that Enzian does. Well, they'll bring in a university professor who knows what they're talking about. And so this one's going to be from the Research Center on Potential Existence of Mind-Matter Interaction, John Kruth. And he's going to talk about, like, telekinesis
there
and telepathy.
Yeah.
And that will precede a screening of Akira, which is this old school anime movie about a bike gang leader trying to save his friend. And it's crazy.
I didn't know she was an actress.
That movie is amazing.
The movie's great. And it's also, a lot of people look at that movie as being responsible to kick off the anime craze here in Western society. Mm. Movie came out in 89, did really, really well in movie theaters. And, I think everybody here in the States haven't looked back.
Wasn't Speed Racer the first delve into the idea of anime for America? Speed Racer?
There's other ones as well, but
that's a show though. It wasn't a movie.
This is a full length movie, and it changed the game.
It's a good one. If you've never seen anime before, you never had any interest, I'd say go check this one out. But it's very gruesome.
Cool.
It's crazy.
Coolest motorcycle in the game.
All right.
It is very cool. Yeah, they're going to do a live action one, I heard. The 10th annual Christmas Light Ride is taking place at Ivanhoe Village. You can head out from Retro City Cycles, which is a great family-owned bike shop, and you decorate your bike, and then they're going to go through Ivanhoe Village and College Park. It leaves at 7 p.m. It's for all ages, all riding levels. They're going to go very slow, and it's a really fun way to look at some of like the rich homes in College Park and Ivanhoe that are really decorated for the holidays. And you can just see it from bike.
That's cool.
Oh, that is cool.
It's a beautiful area, too.
Yeah.
It is. Like, all around that Lake Ivanhoe.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah, just beautiful. Old school, old Florida homes there. Speaking of homes, the 32nd annual Sanford Holiday Tour of Homes is taking place also on Saturday, noon to 9 p.m. You can go into 10 historic homes in the historic Sanford district. And then the whole route is planned to go around this park, this public park, which is full of like this holiday market. So you could do the tour, look at these beautiful homes, and then pop over to the holiday market.
Very cool.
It's like $30 to do the tour. So yeah, that's a great one. Krampus Fest Sunday. This is taking place at the Plaza Live. Well, everybody loves Krampus now. We don't even need to talk about what Krampus is, right? Because everybody knows.
Right. He's like a Christmas ghoul.
Well, Well, maybe we do need to talk about it.
he's like a Christmas bad guy, right? Like a ghoul?
He was used to threaten children.
Yeah, yeah.
Behavior Krampus is going to come get you.
Then why am I so wrong then? You guys acted like I said the stupidest thing ever.
He's like a devil. He's like a devil, and he has a tongue, like he's a KISS member, and he throws kids into a little backpack and carries them off to hell. And there's lots of spanking for some reason. I guess that's a German thing.
He does all that. He does all that, and then writes an album of songs with two chords.
with drippy eyeliner. Yeah, you got it. Yeah, perfect. Krampus Fest. So that's taking place at the Plaza Live with performances by Bad Santa and the Angry Elves. They're kind of punky.
Okay.
Phantasmagoria. That's that group that does steampunky kind of burlesque dancing. And they're going to have a little beer garden. And that'll be fun.
All right. And then one more, buddy.
One more. Light Up Soto. This is taking place at the Soto Shopping Plaza just south of downtown. They have face paintings, letter to Santa, stilt walkers, bounce houses. Santa's there with his wife. I don't know her name, but we always just call her Mrs. Claus. It's kind of old school. Starts at 2 p.m.
Patty.
$5 to get in. It's one of the more family-friendly things happening this weekend besides the thing happening in downtown Sanford.
Well, buddy, we appreciate it. As always, if you missed any of that, you can go to bungalower.com and read that. Plus, you can also probably click through right there to get tickets if that's needed. Thanks, as always, buddy. We'll see you next week for sure.
Thanks, guys. I'll sort out this microphone. I'm sorry.
Yeah, all right, man. No worries. All right, 407-916-1041. Back with more of the Jim Colbert Show right after this. Welcome back to the Jim Colbert Show, Real Radio 104.1, 407-916-1041. Text us 77031. I am Jim. Deb is here.
Hello.
Jack.
Yeah.
And Ross.
In the club with my homies.
Have you guys started Christmas shopping yet?
Yeah.
This weekend is my weekend to start Christmas shopping.
I like how you forgo all the major sales and then start.
Well, the problem is I don't like people.
Those crowds were crazy.
Yeah, Black Friday is not my thing. I've gone one time. And I remember standing in a Home Depot at 2:30 in the morning because they were selling televisions.
Right.
You know, where you get your TVs.
Those days are gone.
At Home Depot. Mm-hmm. And you walk in there and you put your hand on one. You're almost like kind of signed it and you stick your hand in that strapping, you know, that strap, and you hold it there so that nobody tries to take your thing. Because the TVs are like $60.
You are so 2019.
Yeah, you feel it.
Dude, I think that was like 2013.
Everything done is you can do online.
Oh, I
every
know.
Special. And not only that, this year they started like Listen, November 1st.
I told you my wife is a savant at shopping. She laughs, I mean, heartily laughs at people who actually venture out. We go to the Mall of Millennia, I think, twice a year for the Christmas season. One, just to go because it's kind of a cool thing to do during the Christmas season. And then secondly, like there's a couple things that she can't get there online. Everything else from this day on, actually it's already started last week. Every single day when I come home, there will be two or three or four packages piled up at the front door for deliveries because my wife shops online exclusively. She does a very good job as well. And the only person I really have to worry about shopping for is her. And you guys, well, let me tell you, you don't and you don't. Jack, when did your kids, well, you have a young one. Well, you actually have two that are kind of in this weird thing. My kids are now in the thing where we don't worry about getting them anything for Christmas.
They just want money.
They just want money.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so disheartening.
Yeah. Can I tell you? The funny thing you say that, because when I overheard my wife having a conversation with one of my daughters that lives out west, it was the one in Seattle, all right? And she's like, well, you know, what do you want, Ob? What do you want? And my daughter understands how it sounds. She goes, I know this sucks, but I kind of would just money. Just, you know, money's good. And it does suck. But the thing
Why?
I do understand is I get it 100%.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, when you're 24 years old, 25 years old, you got bills to pay.
It's the most impact. My daughter, same thing at 22. It's like her, just hitting the bills every month. And she said, the thing that can help me most is that.
Yeah, money. That's right. And so there are no more. I mean, my wife is getting them a couple small things just so they'll have packages to open.
Right.
Other than that, it's a Venmo Christmas.
Aww.
Isn't it? I can't stand that.
No.
Even though I completely understand it, I don't like it at all.
Well, you can still get her something that she doesn't expect. Because the other thing is, like, when they give you a list and they get mad if you don't get whatever's on the list.
Got one of those.
Right?
That didn't go over well.
So it's nice. Really? If you can get something, you get them what they want, but then you get something that you think they would like.
Right, yeah.
And if you can hit on that, that's fun.
Oh, like, yeah. They expected you to get everything?
Well, not everything. So, but here's what happens to us, right? So the kids find out Dad's got a few bucks, right? Wow. It's like everybody else, like, oh, you know, I'll take a pencil set. Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, you can get me some flip-flops, I guess, maybe some socks. But it's me. It's, oh, yeah, Gucci belt, bitch.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's like, you know, it's all the, they drop the bombs on us. So we get them usually one, you know, like, nice gift. I think everybody kind of does the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
My wife does it by number so that she obsessively counts the amount of gifts that are between each kid to make sure that everybody has
the exact
amount to open because we don't want to hear it.
That sounds awesome.
And that's cheap. No, it's fine. It's fine. It's fine.
I mean, are you insinuating you have a favorite child?
No, no, no. What I'm saying is, as you're buying gifts, you don't really keep tabs on how many. You lose track because you have four kids. Next thing you know, you're pulling the things out to count them to make sure it's all cool.
Everybody gets three.
Well, everybody gets a certain amount for
sure.
That's
usually what I go. That's my number, my rule number of gifts.
You guys budget?
I'm supposed to budget this year, but, and this is actually part of Ross' thoughts, I have goofed it up.
Let me tell you something real quick right now, okay? Because I mean, I know we've talked about this whole thing. So when my wife and I enter that this is the limit thing, right. there is no cute going over in our world. If the limit's like $200 or whatever per gift, you know, big gift for each of us, you better not go over a nickel because we both take it very seriously. There is no, oh, I was just thinking about you a little extra that day and, you know, it'll be fine,
wow,
blah, blah, blah.
You married a woman who's basically Jimmy.
Yeah, yeah, no.
Breasts.
That's a weird way to describe it.
Sorry.
I'm uncomfortable.
She's so much cuter than that.
Oh, God. She's going to take offense to that. I'm just going to give you a heads up.
I'm offended for her.
All right, 407.
Wait, I'm rethinking it.
916-1041. Clausman hasn't been here in so long. He hasn't been in the studio.
He's freaking me out, man.
Glenn is wandering around in the hallways
now. He's scared at every window.
He's pushing his face against the window as if he's trying to see some peep show.
It's scary.
Unbelievable. And then I have other people up there going, hey, Glenn's here, as if we don't know Glenn's here. He smashed his face against every window in the building to let us see him. We get it. He's here. Let's take a little break and get to him in a second. Glenn Clausman with Colbert Court up next.
Hey, shitty baby, I'm hot like the prodigal son.
Everybody, welcome back to the Jim Colbert Show, Real Radio 104.1, broadcasting live from beautiful Maitland, Florida on this gorgeous Thursday afternoon. I am Jim. Deb is here along with Jack and Ross.
Who's the stranger?
Of course, in studio with us right now, Glenn Clausman, big hand.
Let's do
Colbert Court.
What you are listening to is real.
Well, sort of.
The participants are not actors.
That's a fact.
This is, however, a real case that will be decided here in our forum, the Colbert Court.
That's right. Colbert Court brought to you by Clausman Law, KLAUSMANLaw.com. Offices up in Winter Park, 407-917-1718. That's how you call him. Car crash. Call Clausman. He will take good care of you, my man.
Great. Good to see you
here
all.
Live.
Hey. It's good to have you back.
Yeah, interesting being in the studio.
Yeah, yeah. And I knew that you were dying to give some stuff away, but we're going to do it next Thursday and the Thursday before we leave for Christmas break. Glenn will come in. He brings a fistful of Publix gift cards. We'll do some trivia questions. He'll don the Santa hat.
All right. I got my Santa hat.
He's so excited about it. He's
already, whoa.
Are you?
There we go.
That's a big ball on the end of that.
Have you always been like this excited about the Christmas season? You like this season?
Oh, yeah. I love this season. It's great. Well, who wouldn't?
Yeah. I mean, you're right. Who wouldn't, right?
Yeah. Well, this Scrooge time is of year. Like Jimmy.
Yeah. Do you shop a lot?
Yeah, I shop a lot.
You do?
I do.
Are you a big gift buyer? Like, does your family know that this time of year that you go all out?
I try to.
Hey,
and there's so many places in town to buy. I mean, and there's so many sales, so much going on. And then you've got online. I mean, you know, everything online.
I'm available for adoption.
We'll talk about it later.
Yeah. So does your wife or do your daughter ever go, Dad, don't go overboard this year. Don't go overboard.
Every year.
And every year
it's always too much. Oh, you know, I don't know. I forget what the phrase is, but excessive is the phrase. Excessive is the phrase. I'll tell you, like, 1 year it was, my wife said something about tea, and we ended up with, like, 15 different kinds of tea, and, you know, just small things, but lots of them sometimes.
That's cool, though. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, nothing wrong with
now,
that.
Now, is your daughter at that age? We're just talking about this with my kids. I don't know if your daughter's at that. I can't remember exactly how old she is.
24.
24, early. So exactly the same age as my guys.
Okay.
Or at least two of them. Has she reached the point yet where all she really wants is money?
No, I don't think so. Gift cards, which may be the same as money, are always helpful.
No, I mean, my guys ask for stone cold cash.
No. She's wonderful. And we're so fortunate she's back home. She was in Virginia for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to college up there and lived up there. And now she's back home. Her husband's a pilot. He just got on with JetBlue and starting training with JetBlue. And we're very excited about that.
Oh, that flying. So, those flying perks are for real, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those flying perks are for real.
Well, yeah. Yeah, they are. I need to put a my wife wants to fly everywhere.
Yeah.
Wants to go everywhere.
Listen, my daughter, when she started working for Alaska Airlines and put me on her family plan or whatever,
right, yeah.
She can do that with two people. She's got a boyfriend that she does that.
Right.
But I'm the other person. I just flew to Denver and back for like $70.
I mean,
the only thing is you have to fly standby, but it's rare that you don't get on. And the cool thing is my daughter has this thing that's, you know, this program basically at work that lets her know the chances of that ticket getting on the plane. And she won't even let me go if it's not like 85% or more.
Yeah, they know. Somehow my daughter knows. And the husband being the pilot, they look on some kind of website and they see what the chances are getting on. And
boom.
Yeah, yeah. And he's got my wife and his mom as his two folks. So
that's the it's the best.
Yeah.
I mean, man, there's nothing in the world like having access to that to fair plane fare, you know, where you can fly and really enjoy. There's so many great places in the U.S. to check out.
I've
never been to Yellowstone.
The problem is I work. I just can't like go for a week somewhere.
You go to your antiquing trips.
4 day weekend. Yeah. And wherever I go, I can take stuff and I can work. That's true.
Right, that's true.
Especially in this world, we've learned to do that. That's true. Take the laptop, do the work. Always have my cell phone with me.
I saw a list of places just here in the U.S. You know, we don't really travel abroad much. Hopefully this year we're going to try to get over if things don't go crazy with any of the viruses or whatever and the restrictions don't hit us. But, man, there's so many beautiful places in the, like, out west I've never been. Yellowstone in Wyoming. What's the big one there? One of the big
national parks,
Jackson Hole.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just so many beautiful spots I've yet to see. So we plan on doing that as much as possible now. We have a cheaper air flight. You know, it's easier.
Yeah, we've got, you know, my wife's got family in Iowa that we haven't seen in a while. You know, people are getting older. You want to visit them. And, yeah, there's a lot of places to do, a lot of things to do. But, you know, again, it's time and being able to get away.
Is Iowa a pretty state? I know that Idaho is. It always gets the thing. But Idaho is a gorgeous state.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the most expensive real estate in the world's out there.
In Iowa?
Idaho.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, I'm talking Iowa.
Yeah, that's corn.
Corn. It's beautiful. There's a lot of beautiful areas.
All right, guys, if you don't know anything about Colbert Court, every Thursday around 4:20 or so, we bring our buddy Glenn Klausman in, klausmanlaw.com. He brings us a case. We read the case, try to figure it out between the guys on the show, and then after we make fools of ourselves, we turn it over to Glenn to see what the actual answer is. Are you guys ready?
Ready.
Hell yeah.
Play along at home.
Hey, you know what? I look at the iPhone with my picture on it. My beard isn't that white, is it?
Oh, yeah. Your beard's pretty white, buddy.
Hey, okay, it's all part of the Santa montage.
It's very white.
All right.
Here we go. My name is Joe, and I am a handyman, and I have Joe's Handyman Business. I have no employees. Right. I've had the same insurance for my pickup truck for the last 5 years, and I got into my first accident recently. When claims were made for the accident, my insurance company took a phone statement from me. They asked where I was coming from and going when the accident happened. I told them I was going from Home Depot to a customer's house to do a window screen replacement. My insurance company then canceled my policy and denied the accident claims because they say I was using my vehicle for commercial purposes. And when I took out the policy, I did not disclose that I used my pickup for commercial use. They refunded me the premiums I paid for the last year, but the accident claims are a lot more than that. They sent me a copy of my insurance application, and I did not check the box that I used my vehicle for commercial purposes. Am I screwed?
Yes.
Like, you believe, like, that quickly, you think the guy's screwed, huh?
Yeah, the box is there for a reason. We have more and more people using their vehicles for their own. And I know we've kind of touched on this topic.
Yeah, because this
in
is a difficult one, yeah.
Yeah. There may be a loophole here that Glenn would be able to find that no other attorney could find.
No, he's a handyman. I can only assume he's registered that. He's had his same truck for 5 years. So if he's had the same truck for 5 years and they know he's a handyman, what did they expect him to be using his truck for?
Well, that's my question. Now,
I mean, it's obvious for the business, right? I mean,
no, because now, is there anything on his truck that identifies it as Handyman LLC? Because that's my question. Because isn't that what would designate it as a commercial vehicle?
I've gone with Jack, though. If he doesn't check the box, I mean, I think that's what really kind of designated.
Well, I don't know if he would have thought that his own personal vehicle would have been thought of as a commercial vehicle because he's driving it to and from a work site, but it's not a company vehicle and it doesn't have any company insignia on it.
Yeah.
So, is it incorporated? Does that matter?
I'm just saying that there's nothing on the truck that says that that is just a commercial vehicle. It is his personal vehicle that he happens to use for work.
Yeah, but yes, I agree with that 100%. But and there's a weird line there because, I mean, if he's a handyman and he has a truck, I mean, everything would tell you he uses the truck for his job. But if he doesn't designate that he does that, like, I mean, I would think, like, what if he claims mileage on the truck, wouldn't that designate it a corporate truck?
I don't know, because there's a lot of people we work with who might claim mileage, but that's still their personal vehicle.
Right,
like,
right,
we're
right.
just able to deduct some of the mileage.
That doesn't make it a company car.
Exactly.
Although he uses it for his company, it really doesn't, because it's still his personal vehicle.
It's like, I would imagine that this would be akin to a Lyft or Uber or a Grubhub, you know, where you use the vehicle, or maybe even less so.
Huh. What do you think, Ross?
I believe this is a tomfoolery.
Oh, God. Oh no. I was hoping this wasn't going to happen.
Oh, Glenn gets to see it in person. This is awesome.
Well, he likes it, though.
May I ask the court a question?
Yeah.
Have y'all seen the movie Brokeback Mountain?
No.
Yes.
Even the client is shaking his head in disgust.
Apparently, Glenn has seen the movie.
I'm not scared. I've seen it.
This reminds me of Brokeback in that mountain because you have people denying who they are.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Now,
oh
if them cowboys would have checked the box, they wouldn't have been in them predicaments. But here we are.
That's an odd word to
use
there.
It is. Definitely a predicament.
Yeah, no
so I believe he is screwed because he is denying the reality of being said handyman.
When the claims were made, insurance company took a phone statement. Does that have anything to do with it?
Because
why would you say that it took a phone statement?
Well,
they asked where I was coming from.
Because he was saying he was going on a job.
But does it matter if he gives it to them? Because if it was an accident, wouldn't it matter the statement he made to the cops?
No, I think more important is what he said to them as opposed to what he said to the cops.
They canceled my policy and denied that. Boy, they are quick to that, huh?
Oh, yeah,
They can't wait to send that premium check back.
Yeah, that person on the other end was like, got him.
30 or 40 grand for whatever this is. Maybe more if the injuries were bad. Were the injuries bad here on this case, Glenn?
No.
They weren't that bad?
No, but it's the damage was a lot more than the premiums. Otherwise, they would have paid it and kept the premiums.
Yeah, sure, because even in 5 years, the premium is only $100 a month. It's not going to pay for a new truck. Are we warm at least?
Wait a minute.
Well, Jimmy.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
Exactly.
Here.
Are we warm, Glenn?
Are we warm like two cowboys?
No, Slim.
He was driving to a job
from Home Depot.
From Home Depot.
Yeah, from his supplier.
He's buying screens to put screens
on. Yeah, but he's a handyman.
I would argue that the job is at the site.
Right.
And the vehicle was just his transportation to work.
That's the way I see it, because there is no insignia.
Yeah.
There is nothing that establishes his vehicle as a corporate or commercial vehicle. It is his personal vehicle. He drives it to job.
It's not like he's using it to deliver pizzas. He was driving to a workplace.
Exactly. He's not working in his vehicle.
He was leaving from Home Depot to a customer's house to do a window screen replacement. So we can only assume he was at Home Depot picking up materials this job.
It's no different than you driving to go fix a screen for a friend and you end up unfortunately getting in a wreck on the way.
The way you drive, not surprising.
Yeah, but I'm not a handyman. My taxes don't show that I'm a handyman. Nothing. My business doesn't say I'm a handyman. I mean, that has to mean something, right?
Just because you're skirting the IRS with your handyman business. At least this guy is paying his taxes.
And many other things, Jack. They refunded the premiums, sent me a copy of the insurance application. I did not check the box. That's a douche move. And that I use my vehicle for commercial purposes.
All right. I just...
Okay, I don't... I do not think he's screwed. This can't be actual, because so many people use their vehicles for business. There's no way possible that that is true. There's no way. I don't care if he checked it or not. The actual usage of the vehicle tells the story of the vehicle more than a missed check box. That's my take. Deb?
Well, my take is that, again, missing the checked box could simply just be a miscommunication,
right?
Because he does not feel that his vehicle is a commercial vehicle in the truest sense of the word. It is his personal vehicle. He drives to the work site, so therefore the insurance does need to pay the expenses.
Gotcha.
Well, I don't want to agree with the two of you, and who knows what Foghorn Leghorn is going to say.
Let's ask him, Foghorn.
So I'll say he's screwed.
Okay.
Even though I'm hoping I'm wrong, I'm hoping because the job is at the site, and he's just on his way there, that Glenn found a way to get this guy paid. But I'm going to say big insurance wins again.
Okay, two unscrewed, one screwed. What say you, Brokeback?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting listening to y'all.
Time out.
Wait.
Let's wait for him. I got
You want a Southern opinion here,
Foghorn
Glenn?
Leghorn,
you don't
want
to be Brokeback.
Foghorn Leghorn, yeah.
What I would like to do.
You can't do it now.
check the box.
I just think it's true.
Husband just told you to check the box.
I do believe that.
Oh, that was awesome.
Check the box, bitch.
I do believe that this individual is up S's creek.
Okay, so there's... Oh, it's 50-50. Yeah, Ross can barely contain himself. All right, so Deb and I believe that there's wiggle room. The boys do not believe there's wiggle room.
They don't want wiggle room. Check the box.
Senior Clausman, what say you, friend?
Yeah, this is an actual factual scenario where this company did... and it's going to be an ongoing case. They did cut this guy off and send him his premiums back, and they're going to lose. They're going to lose because this guy is entitled to coverage.
Good.
And they
for
were just,
any of
they,
the reasons we stated, or
yeah,
simply...
they're just trying to screw the guy over. To be honest with you, number one, you know, it's if he was DoorDash or Uber or something like that, that's commercial use of your vehicle. But just going back and forth to a job site, I mean, I go back and forth to the courthouse.
Right, yeah.
I go back and forth to take depositions. If I get in an accident, that's not commercial use. I'm not using my vehicle for commercial use. And, Deb, you were right on about asking if there's anything on the vehicle that designates it. If there's no placard that says, you know, Joe's handyman. You know, it's not a commercial vehicle.
It's
his own personal vehicle.
Does it matter who, like, so when you buy a commercial vehicle and you're an incorporated company, you buy it under the company's name. If you bought it with your own money, wouldn't that also designate that's your personal vehicle?
Great point also. He's insured as Joe in his last name. He's not insured as Joe's handyman.
Right.
Because he's not inquiry. He's just a handyman guy. You know, so yeah, this is one where they're trying to pull a fast one. And the other thing is, even if they were correct, let's say this guy had on the side of his vehicle Joe's Handyman Service, and let's say all he did with this vehicle was deliver stuff and he had a separate personal vehicle. If they were right about it being a commercial vehicle and giving him his premiums back, they'd have to go back and give him 5 years, not just the 1 year, because they were insuring him for five different years. And now, after 5 years, he has one accident. They want to give him 1 year's worth of premiums.
Right, it's ridiculous.
This is where I had mentioned this. We had another case where you had brought up the fact that you had combed through someone's insurance policy, and their own insurance company said to you, "Oh, you found it."
Yeah, that was Patrick when he came in.
Patrick,
one of the clients, yeah,
right. The motorcycle crash.
Yeah, so, one of your listeners.
So again, this is my question, because Jimmy had asked about the phone statement and if that had anything to do with it. Do you think it's important for people to call an attorney like yourself first, even before they give a statement to their own insurance company?
Well, it depends. It depends on the facts. I mean, first of all, when you give a statement, you're going to tell the truth. So it's not like you're going to call a lawyer and the lawyer's going to tell you to say something different. But you can talk to a lawyer like myself, and we'll talk to people for no cost, just to let them know the consequences of what they're going to say.
Right.
So, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Because honesty can have a cost to it, and that sucks.
And they're going
to
record that. I mean, you know, you go by and you miss this box. Now, just curious here. So why even offer that box as a check then? If it can be so easily bypassed and so easily kind of negotiated or litigated, why is that on the policy?
Because somebody may be doing Uber or DoorDash or something like that with their personal vehicle. And it's
and that does matter.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. If you're doing DoorDash and Uber with the vehicle, then you are using it for commercial purposes, right. And you need to check that box.
So when this settles down, when it winds up litigating all the way out, is this a company we're familiar with? This insurance company?
This is, you know, and we see this with not the big name companies, but you know, companies. I mean, I can tell you, and the companies wouldn't be companies like Infinity, Direct General. They look at. And some of these non-standard companies that sell insurance out of South Florida, when you're in an accident, they're going to look at the application that you made for insurance to make sure you told the truth on it. And if you didn't tell the truth on it, you're going to have a problem with your claim.
Right.
So that's why it's very important when you buy insurance from any company,
right,
to look at the application, make sure you're telling the truth on it so that you don't have a problem if you ever have a claim. Because the reason you buy insurance is to protect you when you have a claim. Now, the larger companies, they may do their own investigation anyway, and not have to take the statement from you.
Right.
But, you know, that's why it's so important to make sure you're telling the truth when you fill out the application.
Yeah, but at the same time, call an attorney and let them know what truth you told so that when the insurance comes back in one way, shape, form, or another and tries to screw you out of what you've rightly been paying for, you have at least legal counsel that's ready and able to help you get yourself covered.
Yeah, and so this is what we like to do also. If they're going to take a statement, we like it to be recorded so there's no question about what was said. Because we've had cases where the person with the insurance company said that the person said something to that insurance person. And the person, I didn't say it that way.
I would want them to record it. Yeah, if I was calling my insurance company, I'd be like, you need to make sure you're recording this right now.
Yeah, but I bet you they're not as kind when you want to record it.
Yana, are you happy that Jim, Deb, and myself got this case correct?
Whoa, back up.
Beep, 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 I believe Jack was the only one wrong.
I believe you're wrong there, and I even pointed out the reason and was hoping to be wrong, and I'm glad that Glenn was able this guy off the hook.
You're so good at it. Gold medalist. This guy is a gold medalist.
All right.
Thank you.
Glenn, sounds always great job. I know next week and the week after, we look forward
to Santa Clausman.
Fistfuls of public gift cards ready to help you buy your Christmas dinner and everything else you may need during the season.
Absolutely. Well, I'll be giving away gift cards next week and the week after. Hope it helps everybody a little bit over Christmas and look forward to coming in and doing it.
And by the way, we got a text earlier this week, and not to blow you up anymore because we do have to go, and Deb can actually verify this, that we had a guy say that, you know, I had a situation. I called Glenn. It was after hours, personal phone.
It was about their insurance policy.
Yeah, you picked up the phone. You gave him great advice and moved on, and they will never forget it. He said, I'll never forget how easy that was and how kind you were.
It's easy. I mean, it's easy for me to do. And you know, a lot of lawyers don't like talking to people on the phone because they're afraid what they say will be misconstrued, and if the person has a problem, they'll come back and sue them. But I trust it.
And another thing we found out, and we got to go, another thing we found out is that people believe that when you call an attorney, you're like hiring them.
Well,
but people believe that. That's not the case. Just when you call an attorney for advice, you're not hiring them, and they're not going to bill you for that, especially Clausman. He's not going
to
do that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy to talk to people for a few minutes on the phone, no problem.
For sure, man. You know,
if I can give them advice, great. If I can't, I tell them I'm sorry. I wish I knew, but I don't.
Buddy, have a wonderful weekend. Thanks. Again, it's Clausman Law, KLAUSMANLaw.com. Offices up in Winter Park, 407-917-1718. Car crash. Call that guy right there, Glenn Clausman.
Great. Thanks so much.
Good to see you, buddy, as always.
Yay.
All right, back in a second with more of the Jim Colbert Show. Hang loose.
The Real Radio Store is now open for business. Virtually. Find the official merchandise of your favorite radio station at realradio.fm/store.
From the...
Welcome back to the Jim Colbert Show, Real Radio 104.1, 407-916-1041. Text us at 77031. Welcome back. I am Jim. Deb is here.
Hello.
Jack is here.
Good evening.
And Ross is here as well.
It's true.
Trivia in 45 minutes. Do we have Eagles tickets today?
We do.
Eagles tickets up for grabs today in trivia. Of course, Ross thoughts at the top of the hour.
Yeah, we don't have those actually. I've already taken them.
Yeah, have you really? and don't forget the blog, jimcolbertlive.com. You know, I didn't mention this earlier. Ross, you put up the wingsuit?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty gnarly.
Okay, heights drive me crazy. Like, I can't, you'll see those videos where those kids will climb towers and video themselves standing on the very top of it and stuff. The anxiety just literally almost takes my breath away because I hate heights so much.
Yeah, you break out in acne.
So this is one of the craziest things.
Oh, like, it's Red Bull too, so it's going to be awesome.
It's a Red Bull guy. He jumps out of a plane in wingsuits over a volcano. Now they say over a volcano. This thing's smoking. You're right, it is active. But in reality, if you watch it, because they shoot it from a bunch of different angles, he almost goes into it. Like, he almost kind of dips right, almost just right into the top of it before he comes out the other side. It is crazy.
Have you ever wanted to wingsuit?
No,
though?
I have. I just went over this whole thing about the heights.
I mean, I'm afraid of heights too.
Yeah.
But I bungee jumped twice to try and break my fear, and now I wouldn't mind going wingsuit.
I'll tell you how bad it is. Where you were bungee jumping, I wouldn't even come within 3 feet of the edge of it to look over. When we went to the Hoover Dam, I was on my hands and knees crawling up to the edge of it. I have a fear of falling. I don't know what it is, but I do have a fear of falling.
Past life.
It could be. I'm not joking, man.
May have died that way.
Yeah, who knows?
I know that after I bungee jumped the first time, that jump was 150 feet.
God, man. That's...
So I thought, you know, because I had just seen a child jump ahead of me. So I thought, so I jumped and after, whoa.
Yeah, no
And
way.
Then after that, when I would go stay in a hotel that was 15 floors, or I would have to get on my hands and knees and crawl back into the room because I couldn't look over the edge of the balcony without remembering what it felt like to fall.
Tori will tell you that when we were in Austin, we were on the 35th floor or whatever, right? I couldn't go right next to the window.
No.
I can't stand even right next to the window. That's how bad it is.
Oh, but this is such a killer video.
Yeah,
though.
Check it out.
This is such a cool video. Yeah.
Does it not look like he goes into
it
a little bit?
It does.
Yeah.
It looks like, and then he pulls full flaps.
Because he goes into the crater.
Yeah.
Right. And then flaps and then comes out of it and then.
Crazy. Oh, there it is. The stones to jump out of
a
helicopter with no parachute.
Yeah.
Just a wingsuit.
Just a little, like.
And I think when you
flap a fabric between your arm and your body.
Isn't it terminal speed is like 180, 180 miles an hour or something like that?
I think it's a little bit less.
Is it less than that? Now, the wingsuit's going to be a lot less than that for sure, but still, you're still falling at a pretty alarming rate.
Yeah, it's so cool. JimColbertLive.com.
Okay, there is a parachute at the end.
Yeah, that's how they stop you.
Oh, boy.
He's not just going to hit the snow hard.
I'm wondering. 170
miles an hour.
You never know.
That's going to be bad news.
I want to say, though, so there's the terminal velocity of something dropping.
Right, yeah.
But then in a wingsuit, you can go faster than the terminal.
I don't know if you can. I don't know if it works like that.
Because the speed record, which was achieved by Fraser Corson over in the United Kingdom in California.
Okay.
He went 246 miles per hour.
Maybe that's the case then. I didn't know they factored that in because we know those peregrine falcons can reach a couple hundred miles an hour when they dive as well.
And that's what made me think. It was like, well, they're going faster than what, you know, an object falling
and
can
is that
to.
It? Falling is different because that's just the effects of gravity. In a wingsuit, you are using aerodynamics to increase that.
That's what I'm saying is if you haven't factored in for wind resistance, and you make yourself a dart to go straight down. Crazy.
That's some of my favorite video to watch are wingsuiters.
Man, they just scare the hell out of me.
They scare the hell out of me, but when you see them threading, you know, when they go up into the Dolomites and they're just threading in between, wow.
Hard pass for Jim.
Straight up nards.
I watched this really, really cool special, Real Sports, Bryant Gumbel. Mm-hmm. That's my guy.
You like that guy?
Bryant.
It's Bryant, yeah. Bryant Gumbel.
I had the T. It wasn't Bryant.
Bryant Gumbel is not a cool guy.
So Bryant Gumbel.
Publix.
So he goes ahead, they do a special on it, and more times than not, whenever you're watching footage of wingsuiters, the best wingsuit person, you're actually not seeing. It's the camera.
Right.
It's the person who's getting that footage, who's flying with the other people. They always put and give whoever's recording is usually the best person to fly in a wingsuit.
And the angles you get, I think there's three or four angles to this. So this was a number of people doing this, not just one.
So in this footage, he's flying. There's no other flyer. So the footage that I'm referring to is that the camera is with
the other wingsuit
people. If you watch that video, the one that we have up right now, though, there's another shot that you the shot that you see where he goes over the volcano, you can't tell how he gets down in it. It's the other shot from some other, whether it be the airplane or another wingsuit or whatever, from the side where you can actually see where he kind of dips below the crater.
And listen, while you're there at JimColbertLive.com, go to the bottom of the page where it says to load more. There's a video I had posted a while ago of ace rider Tom Pages. He's a motocross guy, but he also base jumps.
Oh, yeah, and does that wingsuit thing too as well? Or he does the parachute?
Well, but he does it with his motorcycle.
Yeah, he just rides off the cliff right here.
And then rides away.
And then rides away on the motorcycle.
So, with this, Jimmy, I think because typically the wingsuit video is like they're going a distance. This is kind of over the top of a volcano, so they're kind of located in one spot. So they had a camera on the ground, I'm guessing one in the helicopter, and probably maybe a drone.
Yeah, maybe so.
As another one.
Maybe so, but it'd be pretty high for a drone, though. I mean, they're pretty far up there. I mean,
yeah, I mean, they're flying. Drones fly.
Yeah, no, but I mean, just
explain to Jimmy how drones work.
Yeah. Just like these blades.
Got it. What's the life flight of those things? Usually it's only like 15 or 20 minutes, though, isn't it?
I mean, there's some really nice drones out there, and this is a Red Bull production.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Probably have the best stuff.
I could sit and watch Red Bull stuff. Like, again, this Tom Pages, this FMX rider, it's off the cliffs of France. It just makes me want to become a BMX rider.
And people die all the time. And more times than not, it's the people filming it.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Because they're trying to get the best footage, which also sometimes then means that they're not exactly looking on where to go. It's insane. I think there's no more of an extreme sport than that extreme sport.
Yeah, because, I mean, you're hauling ass. I mean, there's the thing is now, once you get good at it, now you have to fly through stuff or close to stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah, you can't just fly down anymore. That doesn't offer any excitement. Now you have to throw in obstacles. All right, 407-916-1041. Hey, before we go to break, I've got something really cool to talk about on the other side. It's a trend that's happening that I find kind of interesting because of the number that is mentioned, because it corresponds with another number that makes it very interesting of this new movement that's happening with younger people. But before we go, I just saw this on Facebook during the break, and the reason there's a personal connection here to this little story real quick is because my son used to train with this girl, but Felicia Spencer, who is an MMA fighter based out of Orlando. Last I heard, she was training with the Jungle down on 50, which was Seth Petrozelli's gym for a very long time. She was just starting or just been in the MMA for a few years when my son was like a sophomore in high school and going to train at Seth's gym. She used to spar with my son all the time. She's fought on television, fought Cyborg. She just had another great fight where she just won. She just hung her gloves up.
Ah,
well, not gloves, but she just quit.
She was on the Jim Colbert show.
She was. She's decided to stop pursuing this opportunity. She had made a pledge to herself that she was going to be out of the game by 30. She's 31 and made the statement today that she is ending her MMA career. She's going to stay with the sport in, you know, some way, shape, or form.
But get hit in the head anymore.
She's not going to fight anymore. So I've put in a request to talk to her. But she's a really, really cool chick and a super hard worker and tough as nails. So congrats, Felicia. You had a great career. I know you're a good person, and I hope everything works out for you in the long term. All right, back in a second with more of the Jim Colbert Show.
You're listening to the Jim Colbert Show.
I just got a call or a text from my buddy Seth Petrozelli, a great guy, the fighter here. Made a name for himself by beating up Kimbo Slice, a guy nobody thought could lose. Take that, Kimbo.
Yeah, Kimbo,
he beat that guy up
beast.
In like 13 seconds. Sent that guy packing, and his gym is awesome. And he just texted and said that Felicia is ready to hop on, so I'll call her and set it up. We'll talk to her tomorrow. The great MMA star Felicia Spencer hanging up her gloves today. She made that statement on Facebook. We'll find out what it's like to kind of seek, fulfill a dream, and then kind of brush your hands of it and walk on to something else. I mean, that in itself is a dream to somebody.
Yeah.
To find something you love so much that you can approach, you have the talent to do, and then do that thing. Like, achieve what you want and go, okay, let's move on. I've done this. That's strong. Because that drive to stay in that world, regardless of, you know, whether it's MMA or radio or whatever the case may be, sometimes that gets a little weird. It's just an interesting thing to me.
Sometimes radio feels like MMA. do you know that Halle Berry the cage is where she feels the most at home.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was watching that special. It's on Netflix now. It's her directorial debut, but it's about that, and she actually fights in it. But
and she takes some punches to the face, some serious hits.
Dude, I got to tell you, she's talking about a woman. She's like 53 or 4 years old.
Don't talk about it.
Looks exactly like she did when she was 37.
Shut up.
Can I ask Deb a question? And it's going to be weird.
Would I love to be an MMA fighter? Yes, I would.
Why would you ask me if you can ask another grown-ass person?
Well, because it's kind of a showstopper. That's too much quiet. It proved my point. Deb, getting punched in the face or getting socked in the boob? Which one hurts the most?
Oh, they both hurt. Depends on where you get hit in the face.
The boob doesn't matter? Like a straight-on boob punch is not bad? Or a side boob punch? Like a shookity. That diggity, diggity. Like one of those? Diggity, diggity. Like it's a bag? Like diggity, diggity. You know, like one of those, you know, where you do the whole thing, you roll the hands?
Ross, now I understand why you asked Jimmy. That's called the speed bag, Jimmy.
All right.
You getting into the gym when
again? What I'm saying. Oh, at the beginning of the year.
You're taking boxing, aren't you?
I am. Beginning of the year, I'm starting.
Oh, so let me just ask Jim this question.
Yeah, exactly.
407-916-1041. You can text us at 77031.
You're
right. By the way, you're the first person I'm fighting.
Is it the doogity doogity?
Diggity diggity.
Diggity diggity. You're from the side. The shugity shugity shugity.
All right.
Or is it the fist? Is it your boob or your face, Jim?
I can take it to the boob every day of the week. You're not going to make it through that thing. It's like a chest callus.
I've always wondered that because I, you know, I've elbowed.
You always wondered that?
I have elbowed.
Has that keeping you up at night? Has it kept you up at night?
When I talked about being bullied as a young child, he learned something about the development of a young female's body. He did not know that they are very painful when they're first coming in.
Yeah.
So he learned something new, and I'm sure from that point forward, now you're saying you elbowed somebody before.
Yeah, I've elbowed my fiance's boob.
On accident.
I'm not playing basketball.
Well, animal. But you need to clarify that.
Right.
You are LeBron.
Yeah. Man.
Yeah, right. You're boxing around the kitchen, trying to get a better position on the fridge.
Chris Brown.
I'll be honest with you, when her reaction to it was as if I punched her in the face.
Well, and a lot of that will depend on her size. If there's volume that can take a hard elbow, it may not hurt as much. If she's an A cup or a B cup or maybe even a C cup, you're connecting a lot more there, and it can be extremely painful.
So I've heard that mammograms are not very much fun at all.
Mammograms hurt like hell.
Yeah, because you know that. Do you know about a mammogram, Ross?
Yeah. They put them in like a panini.
Yeah, dude. They smush them good.
Hard.
Like, they smush them good.
And it's usually another woman that's smushing them, she's got no pity for you.
Oh, yeah.
No sympathy.
Nurse Ratchet.
Yep, just stand there and hold still. Don't move.
That is like it looks like a torture device.
It does.
They're trying to get secrets out of you.
It's the least sexy that can look.
I have given up my social security number to stop it.
All right, 407-916-1041. I told you guys there's a new trend happening right now, and it's kind of interesting because the way this number correlates to another variation of this. But what do you think? What do you think is becoming a really big trend in certain parts of the country? And
trend in terms of
trend in terms financially, a financial trend that's happening that is picking up steam and happening right now.
Trend, crypto.
Yeah, Bitcoin.
So, okay, let's say it's with your personal finances. It's a choice you make with your personal finances.
Donating.
No savings accounts.
That's not a bad one, would you say?
Donating. Charity.
Charity is the answer. Now, listen to this. This is a really unique thing. Have you guys heard about this?
No, but I think it's...
So, 27-year-old
you think it's a
great idea.
There you go.
27
I'm Wisconsin, come on.
I want to hear the end of her sentence. That's it.
27-year-old software engineer began donating part of his wages in 2019. He made a pledge. He was going to donate a certain percentage that year and then try to increase 3% per year until he hit his magic number. Now, his magic number is 15%. But there is another magic number that's being used by everybody else, and this is like a thing now. Now, this guy is giving his money to a charity called Giving What We Can. Now, that's where this is actually all set up. And 6,500 people have actually joined this movement to give what they can. What do you think the number is that I find very interesting, Jack?
10%.
10% is the answer. Why is that interesting?
Tithing.
Because tithing, exactly. It's biblical.
Stereotypically, in churches, for people who are don't go to church, the tithe that they say, you know, that you God gives you, you got to give the 10, you give 10% of your salary to the church.
Damn.
10% of whatever you make. And I know people who do this, no pun intended, religiously. that they look at that vow to give that money to their religious institution, their church, their temple, whatever the case may
be. Synagogue.
They donate that money religiously, no differently than they show up every Sunday. It's part of their weekly life, monthly life, whatever. So what's interesting to me is that you can see like the correlation here. You know, we know for a fact that America is moving toward a more secular way of life, and that organized religion and religion in general is seeing a downfall and has every single year, I think, since the late 80s. Maybe even earlier than that, there's been fewer people who have committed themselves to organizations of faith. And I find it interesting that 10% is the number they choose for that giving what you can thing.
Well, I think it's because 10%...
it just seems a little too coincidental. Well, not too coincidental. It just seems very coincidental.
I just think it's a manageable number for most folks.
And it's easy to understand and figure out. You're just moving a decimal.
Exactly. Whereas 15%, I just think that more so to me what it shows is the Zoomer generation really eschewing everything that came before them. And another thing I've noticed popping up, becoming really popular, something I've wanted to do actually is a free market. Instead of a flea market, it's a free market.
Free market.
So people bring their stuff and you barter, you exchange, or you just take it for free.
Right, yeah.
So then that way, you just, if you don't need it, you just pass it on.
Yeah, and that's bullet. You can't even get robbed.
Yeah, right.
There's no point. You're willing to give it.
The more they take, the better person you are.
Hey, you can't receive blessings when your hand is closed. Right.
So you're saying it's a coincidence for this 10%, but I feel like you already answered the question because...
And what, I wasn't really... I mean, go ahead.
Well, just that it was being 10%, that's what the church is asking you. Just
that's
teething
what the Bible, tithing. It says it in the Bible. Right, yeah.
I just called it teething. My bad.
That's okay.
That's completely different. But yeah, I would think it's 10% because those people are more than likely religious, or at least some of them are.
See, the thing is, I think it's the opposite of that. I think as people start to kind of move away from religious organizations, for whatever the case may be, they still feel the need to fulfill those tenets of religion, which is charitable organizations, doing good things and stuff. They just don't want to be bound up they don't want to be enwrapped in the idea of the religious organization. They want to do the things that those people do. They just don't want to carry that moniker. It just looks to me like 10% is a little too coincidental for it not to have some kind of correlation here.
That's what I'm
saying. Because what I'm saying is if you're already heard and you've already used to, you saw your mom and dad do it, an aunt and uncle, whatever the case may be, you're already kind of classically conditioned to give that amount of money already.
I think so few families have experience with that traditional sense of tithing that you grew up in. Well, you grew up in a very religiously conservative household.
Can't you tell?
Put down that gun.
Yeah, I don't know anyone who tithes.
I don't know anyone
really?
Who tithes. Not regularly and not at 10%. I know people who might drop a little bit of cash in the collection plate at Mass.
My in-laws will tithe even if they don't go to church.
See? That's,
they will send that money in. That money, they don't even consider that money theirs.
That a money, lot of people
that
are like
money's
that.
Not even theirs. They don't even consider it. If they look at their check and it's a certain amount, it's 10% less than that.
But for some folks, tithing to St. Jude's Hospital is the same thing as sending it to your church or sending it to an animal rescue or Second Harvest Food Bank.
It says here that why encourage people to give away 10% of their income rather than a higher or lower level? Because this question is asked right here in the context of the story. This is from the BBC, by the way. Quote, the amount's chosen because it strikes a good balance of being both significant and sustainable.
Right.
And, you know, again, you could make that argument for the tithing thing as well. It is a significant proportion of one's income, but also within reach of most people in rich countries. And, of course, I think here in the U.S. we'd be considered a rich country. And by the way, they do point to the historical connection of the idea of tithing in Jewish and Christian communities of giving 10%. And they say the 10% pledge here is a minimum. That's where you start giving. This one guy, the guy, the 27-year-old, he wants to eventually give 30%. And as you roll down the page in the story, it really isn't all just 20-year-olds, 30-year-olds that are all of a sudden woke. It's older people who say, you know what? I actually have too much. And my life is better if I don't have the baggage of that income, and I'll give it to somebody, and it makes me feel better when I do that.
Saw a couple of texts at 77031. One says, nowhere does it say 10% in the Bible, and someone else said 10% is actually from Leviticus, which is in the Bible.
There you go.
I mean, that's that Old Testament, though, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah, Leviticus, if we're going to be taking Leviticus literally, buckle up.
It says, while those signing up include students, retirees, tradespeople, investment bankers, they say that there's a skew towards people middle to higher incomes and those with higher education levels. So the more educated you are, the more likely it is that you enter this program and start giving money. How much do you think they've raised with this so far? They've been doing it since 2009, but it hasn't been funding the full way until the mid to late 2010s, you know, so 2015-16. What do you think they have in there right now ready to go?
Oh, man.
6,400 people doing this.
6,400 people.
So how much money do you think this charity has ready to spend and, you know, do some good around the world?
$1.6 million.
$1.6 million. Adorable.
Oh, that means it's higher. Thanks for the clue.
Yeah, maybe. Or okay, maybe I'll guess swerving
again.
You.
If you're, I'll go again then.
Okay, go ahead.
10 million.
Adorable.
Drop
20 million.
Drop the two. Quadratic formula. Everything over 2A.
More than 10.
Or everything over 2B.
Come on, go.
3, but pi.
Show's ending.
60 million. Ooh,
124 million.
Quarter of $1 billion.
Whoa!
Points!
$244 million has been donated so far. They record their donations on the website. And while the pledge is designed to be a lifetime one, people can drop out if their circumstances change. So once you sign up to be part of this, you can drop it anytime you want. Your money will still be used. And I believe they have a board that basically goes around and decides how they want to spend the money, where they want to do it, how they can make the biggest impact.
I wonder if seeing, you know, some of the world's biggest billionaires, some of the brightest minds in economics, a Warren Buffett, for instance, when you hear about he and a Bill Gates and a, you know, all of them talking about giving their wealth away, not giving it to their kids, so that maybe in the future, the Zoomer generation won't be kissing the ass of a family like the Sacklers,
right,
who create an opioid epidemic just because they happen to be a super rich family who slaps their names on the side of libraries. This future generation will decide, screw you. We're going to make it a better world, one person, and one donation at a time.
And that's been happening with magnates of industry since it started. Vanderbilt, all the barons back in the days built a lot of the colleges and
but that libraries. That was a philanthropy of a different sense. I don't think they ever pledged to give away their billions.
Oh, I see what you're saying. You know,
they built.
But Mackenzie Bezos did, though, right? I mean, she walked into that thing after getting all that money from Jeff Bezos and immediately gave away billions of dollars,
right? Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. It's kind of like the modern definition of a billionaire, whereas, you know, the Sacklers, the families that, you know, the railroad tycoons, they were the ones who would build the libraries and the art museums, but then they also kept their millions for themselves and their scions and never spread the wealth necessarily.
It says there are three reasons why charitable giving cannot be a substitute for well-funded welfare state. Firstly, the amounts given in charitable donations do not make up for a well-funded welfare state. Secondly, giving low-income people cash is the most reliable way to pull them out of poverty. And thirdly, charitable giving is not a reliable source of income, nor is it available for everyone on low income. So what they're saying is even though this money is going to be there, what they really want to do is create an environment where people could kind of provide for themselves, but they will need that boost, and maybe they can help out with this.
It's, I mean, why not give it a shot, right?
Yep.
The very definition of insanity is doing the same thing the exact same way, but expecting a different result.
And they're saying also here, when you're talking about people who are in extreme poverty, the money that you give that you may consider insignificant in the world of your total salary to them is a lifetime of
income. It's a hot meal.
Oh, a hot meal for weeks for a family.
It's like donating to the mustard seed.
Somebody says we give now 20% of our income away, not to just churches, 20% of their income away. What percentage of your income do you think you donate to charities, Ross?
Kind of a personal question, Ross.
Is it really?
It most certainly is.
Is it really? Well, tell me.
It's like,
Ross,
how much do you make?
Well, no, that's not necessarily the case. I mean, I can make $20,000 and give five. doesn't tell you anything.
I mean, not in 2021.
Yeah, did you give any money in 2021?
What underpass do you live under in that scenario?
Just let me explain to you real quick. Everybody gets caught up in the cash thing. Your time is valuable as well. So if you donate your time, I believe that has monetary value. It may not be in the bank, but I do believe it has value.
I am on record for already on saying this, and I was trying to avoid this. No, I'm not embarrassed because I do defend my position here. I do not donate to charity, so the answer is basically 0%.
Okay.
What I do is tip heavy.
Okay.
And that's where I feel I don't even know if a server would be upset hearing this, because that's my form. I don't want to say it's my form of charity, but it is definitely my way of giving back to people.
So rather than give like a 15% or 20% tip, you're more like a 30% tipper?
30%. It also depends on what the meal is. If I'm at Waffle House, I've been known to tip $5 on $10 or like, and I always try to, because I don't want to tip a dollar or $2 on anything at Waffle House or, I don't know. That's where I go. Okay, that's where I try to get my good karma.
So your charity comes in the form of 30% tips to servers.
Plus, okay, plus 30% plus.
Jack, I know you're charitable. Your family has. Do you have a set thing you do? Because I know you do a lot of this kind of thing.
So first of all, I'm uncomfortable talking about how much, because I believe it's something that
you don't have to say how much.
That you don't talk about. Yes. I believe you kind of do it. What do they call it, Deb?
Your left hand should not know what your right hand is doing.
Thank you. So, but I do have a monthly
thing that you do.
Schedule that I like to keep.
You don't need to tell me how much. Because the commitment of even making a commitment. I mean, saying, hey, look, I'm going to give this much money to this charity every month. They can depend on me, whether it be Second Harvest Food Bank, whether it be anything like that. I mean, all of those things count.
All right, can I put you on blast though in a positive light?
Go ahead, Ross.
Because as soon as that the fire broke out on the animal shelter, my man was like 90 seconds into it. He was like, I asked him, what are you doing? He goes, I pulled out his card. I went, oh, my God, this guy's an angel.
No, I'm not.
He was paying the guy who burned it, actually.
Yes.
It only cost him $90.
You asshole.
But I saw this man donate. Yeah. Real quick.
There are certain set charities whether it's Second Harvest Coalition for the Homeless and the Mustard Seed, that are like standard. But then there are those situations that arise throughout the year, like the Pet Alliance having a fire problem, needing a fundraiser, or any, like, it might be a medical crisis of someone that I know that we see on Facebook or something. Like,
all of
you
that
never
matters.
Know.
Yeah, because you really, it's your soul that's charitable. Yeah. It doesn't really matter at that point how much, you know, it doesn't really matter what percentage. If you're a charitable soul, it'll work like that. Deb, do you have anything like that?
Oh, yeah. I try, but I don't do it as a set amount or to even set charities.
Yeah,
I try to do it throughout the year. Second Harvest Food Bank. A rescue mission of Central Florida.
Yep.
Try to donate, especially with their Thanksgiving dinner. Lake County Humane Society, you know, donated cleaning supplies and stuff like that. So I try to always make sure I donate throughout the year over what your taxes.
That's not, I mean, that's completely
as much as I can, you know.
Completely, yeah.
Because at the end of the day, you can't take it with you.
You cannot.
And the more and more I see boxes in the basement and stuff that I'm hanging on to, if you're not using it, give it to someone who could use it.
Mine's a little different, though. I usually find the ugliest wing house girl and palm her $100 once a month.
I mean, kind of what I do, but not exactly.
407-916-1041. You can text us at 77031.
Suddenly burning down the
You are going to hell. You know that? You are going to hell.
I've had a very weird day, and I need to get this off my chest. All right, load them up for trivia. We'll do that next.
Damn.
We have a prize. Get on board at 407-916-1041. Jim Colbert Show Trivia is brought to you by Cento Family Moving and Storage. That's CENTOmoving.com.
This is...
Welcome back to the Jim Colbert Show, Real Radio 104.1, 407-916-1041. Don't forget, you can pick up your Jim Colbert Show spices simply by visiting jimcolbertlive.com. They are up and ready to go. Order away. We'll send them out to you in no time at all. Three flavors, and they are all yummy. Again, that's jimcolbertlive.com. The spices are ready to go. Get them now. Perfect Christmas gift, and we hope you grab them this evening. Welcome back. I'm Jim. Deb and Jack are here as well. Ross, let's find out what's in the old sauce jar.
All aboard. Freeze, no kids. I don't know. You're right. I have a pair of tickets to see the...
Sweet Jesus.
Guys, I have a pair of tickets to see the Eagles.
It's mumbling truth man.
Yeah.
Okay, so, right, no, I'm sorry.
There's a conductor and someone who honestly just wants to keep it real. I have a pair of tickets to see the Eagles Hotel California 2022 tour.
What?
That's going down in February. I also have a pair of tickets to go see Who's Live Anyway Live. That's what I mean.
Whose line is Anyway Live?
It's called Who's Live Anyway, because it's live. It's a little play on word. But it is going down over at Hard Rock. Go check that out. That is your sauce jar, which is brought to you by...
Cento Family Moving and Storage. You know, go local with your move. In support of family-owned and operated Orlando Moving and Storage Company. And if you mention the Jim Colbert Show, that'll get you a discount. Cool. Book them today at centomoving.com. That's CENTOmoving.com. Back to you, Winghouse.
Thank you. I appreciate that so much, Deb. Mm-hmm. Ross, who goes first today?
Guys, he says he's the biggest fan of the Eagles. He said he missed the last time the Eagles played around here because his uncle had a birthday. He knows I'm talking about him. Let's welcome Bill.
Bill, right up top there. Bill, how you doing? Welcome to the show.
Hello. Oh, no.
Hey, Bill, how's it going, buddy?
Doing very well, guys.
Very good. Want to play a little game with us?
I would love to.
Let's do it.
Game show.
All right, Bill, this is very easy. I got a question for you. Four answers. One of them is a lie. If you can find it, off to the sauce jar you go, and of course a pair of tickets to go see the Eagles in February are waiting there if you choose to take them. Are you ready?
I am ready.
How old are you, buddy?
I am 52.
All right, well, you may have a grab on this, so here we go.
Whippersnapper.
On this day in 1981, singer, dancer, television star, recording star, child star. At one point, the biggest tour on earth.
Miley Cyrus.
She's had some troubles.
Drew Barrymore.
Just released from her conservatorship.
Britney Spears.
It's her birthday today. Here are three fun facts about Britney Spears and one lie that needs permission to go to Jamba Juice. Number one, she played point guard for her high school basketball team.
Damn.
Number two, her iconic song, Baby One More Time, was written for R&B group TLC, who turned it down. Number three, her perfume line, Curious, has created over $1 billion in sales. And lastly, she was a bottom floor investor in credit card processing company Square, earning her millions. Which of those is a lie?
Come on.
I'm going to go with the credit card, the D.
You're going to the Eagles, buddy. You nailed it.
Oh, my God.
Did you have somebody working on that? You son of a gun.
No, sir. No, it didn't.
You're
no,
a liar. I can feel it in the phone. Don't
hang
you argue with
him,
me.
Jimmy. Hang up on him.
Don't you argue with me.
No.
Shut that dog up.
Even the dog.
Yeah. Shut that dog up.
Kill the dog.
All right, buddy.
Oh, my God.
Have a good time at the show, man. You're a winner.
The dog.
I appreciate it.
You got it, buddy. You won. I didn't. There you go. There he is. Bill's on hold.
These
guys are so pissed off. 2 days in a row. 2 days in a row they've gotten it on the first round. Did you guys think it was that one?
No, I thought it was that. I can't believe she got in on Square, which, by the way, is now changing its name to Block.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah,
oh.
Because they're going after blockchain, and they want to expand beyond just being the...
Yeah, Square is the fake one. But we know somebody who was on the bottom floor of that.
Yeah.
We know somebody who wrote that software.
Oh, that's right. So she wasn't.
And he just bought a building in Orlando.
Did he really?
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you about that later.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, God almighty, I didn't know it was that much. She did play point guard for her high school basketball team. As a matter of fact, the story is, after she got done with that Disney show, she kind of aged out of that. There was nothing really going on. So she went back to Louisiana and went to high school. Went to prom, went to all the stuff, and then played point guard for a basketball team as Britney Spears from the Disney Channel.
Probably the last time her life was normal.
Oh, yeah. She basically said, I was bored, S-less. I got a record deal and never went back.
Yeah.
The song Baby One More Time was written for TLC, and her perfume line, Curious, has created over $1 billion in sales. I think Curious has a number of different aromas or scents, 12 or 13 or so. They all sell quite well. A couple other things you may not know about Britney Spears before we find out what's coming up for Ross Thoughts. She was almost the head of a girl band called Innocence. As a matter of fact, they put the band together. They had started rehearsing, and she's like, nah, this isn't for me, and she bailed out. And then that band, Innocence, actually opened for her in 2000 when she went out on her tour. Let's see what else. She used a number of aliases when she traveled back in the day. Chastity Montgomery, Anita Dick, and a whole lot of warm... Anita is the name, and then the last name. A lot of warm heart. Those were her favorites. Her musical inspirations were Janet Jackson, Whitney Houston, and Sheryl Crow.
I heard the Anita thing right?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Yeah.
And what... How old was she?
I don't know, probably 19 years old.
Ooh.
Yeah. She was a virgin, though.
She and Prince William... she and Prince William had an email relationship before she started dating Justin Timberlake.
Wow.
But I guess he stopped kind of corresponding with her because of his schedule. And she's like, oh, okay, well, he's a busy guy. Who cares? You know, and then moved on.
Okay.
And then lastly here, the guy who played the astronaut in the Baby One More Time video, you know, when they're on Mars.
Yeah, the luckiest guy.
That guy's now a trauma surgeon.
No way.
He went on to be a trauma surgeon. So there you go. Britney Spears, happy birthday. Today's her 40th.
What?
40th birthday.
Oh, no.
40th.
No.
See, when I met her, she was...
14?
No. Oh, she could have been more than 20. Mm-hmm. 20 years old? What are you laughing at, Ross?
I'm not laughing.
I used to see her on the set of the Mickey Mouse Club when she was part of that.
Oh, yeah. What are you laughing at, Ross?
That's probably when she was 14. Right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And she and Justin Timberlake, they were absolute little snots.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Really?
Oh,
they were the snottiest, little brattiest little bitches you ever had to work around.
No, hold on. When I met her, we were like hanging out. We hung out with her an entire day.
Well,
and she was fine, but Timberlake was a douchebag.
Yeah, but that's because she was famous and she's hanging out with radio people. I'm talking about where their trailer was located back where our break area was for the Great Movie Ride, which doesn't exist anymore. And they were the worst little snots to ever be around.
She was probably, I saw that little girl drink so much vodka.
My God.
Oh, by the way, Eagles tickets go on sale to the general public tomorrow at 10 a.m.
Very nice. Ross, what's coming up for thoughts quickly?
Guys, it is time to speak. Deb, please help us out. Three dudes, we're all in the same boat. The blight that is shopping for your woman for Christmas.
We'll do that next.
Sometimes you gotta wear a shirt. Sorry. We don't make the rules. But we do make a pretty sweet t-shirt. Find the official merchandise for your favorite radio station at realradio.fm/store.
Welcome back to the Jim Colbert Show, Real Radio 104.1, 407-916-1041. Always text us at 77031. Welcome back. I am Jim. Deb and Jack are right there. Let's get some Ross thoughts.
It's weird.
Man.
It's funny.
I'm going to lose.
Sometimes.
All my hair.
It's Ross. Spelled like sauce.
Not so bad.
It's Ross thoughts.
Shopping for my fiance. I know I'm not the only one.
I started getting anxious about buying my wife a gift in August.
She's impossible
to shop for.
The older I get, the more I hate gift giving. And I'm down to splash cash. But that also makes it worse. Because if I spend $100, I expect that amount of reaction. If I spend $200, I'm like, oh, this has got to be good then. So then my expectations of the gift skyrockets. And if it doesn't crush, then I'm like, oh,
Well, at least it was only $200.
I hate it. I need to get better at this. So, Deb, really leaning on you.
All right.
I want to buy a fragrance for my fiance.
Oh, wow.
Problem is, guess what? She had COVID. Don't know what she smells. Don't know what she doesn't. That thing hasn't fully recovered. And then do I buy the smell that I want her to smell like?
That's what you're supposed to do.
Yes.
What you're supposed to do.
But that's the thing. See? Boom. You heard that response? You hear that tire?
Well,
lose
because
air?
What you want her to smell like may not work with her body chemistry, so it's better to know what scents she already wears. Because if she's like, don't get me a floral perfume, I'm a musky, woodsy, spicy scent.
Yes, you are.
Yes, I am.
we're talking chemistry.
But you're right, though. Okay, so you want to buy your wife or your girlfriend or significant other something really nice. The problem is I can't buy shoes, jeans, shirts, accessories.
Done. Why not?
Because I don't know what she wants.
Hermes.
That's why. No.
Why? You can afford them.
I know. It doesn't matter. But the thing is, I could buy her the nicest thing in the world. If she doesn't like it, she doesn't like it.
Ding.
I've done this.
Ooh, ding. A cool leather coat.
I've done that. I bought her the most beautiful houndstooth.
I don't even know what that is. It's made out of dog teeth.
Wool. What do you call those jackets? Trench coat?
Bomber jacket.
What you have on?
Matrix jacket.
Burberry. No. Peacoat.
Peacoat. That's it.
Points.
I mean, a nice one. She wore it twice.
Peacoat is
twice.
That's because it's a peacoat. It's because it's a peacoat.
Oh my God.
A peacoat doesn't fit every woman's body the same way.
That's too. Wearing.
That's what I'm saying. I'm sorry, dude, if you'd taken me with you that day, I said, do not get her the peacoat.
But I can't. We don't have that ability. Ross can't call
you
up
do.
Just the gym.
No.
Like, Randos.
Why can't you call me?
Always answer.
I thought you were talking.
Jimmy.
I thought you were talking about having me call Olivia.
No, but snoop around her stuff.
Yeah.
Snoop around her stuff.
I'm
what kind
snooping,
of perfume does
I'm
she wear?
I'm snooping, but now I'm over here sniffing her stuff, and now she thinks I'm a weirdo.
Yeah.
Well, she already knew you were a weirdo.
And that the perfume may be the most difficult one.
I'm like, oh, I think she would look good in this, but like, what happens if her, you know, if the front cheeks are too far out? Like, I don't know.
I bought my wife some perfume, and then about 4 days later at Amazon, a bottle came in. I'm like, wait a damn minute. You know, because, I mean, if she doesn't like it, she doesn't like it. I've purchased things, and I'm like, she's going to love this, and she doesn't like it. I've just learned my lesson. I don't do it anymore.
Chris has done the same. He's bought me Calvin Klein perfume, and I've never worn it because it's not my scent.
I bought my wife's nice shoes, took them back.
And it kills us when we do that. It's not your fault. It's not anybody's fault.
Listen,
it's
you guys
just
are not fun to shop for either.
What are you talking
we're
about?
We're the easiest.
We scratch ass.
There's so much stuff I see I know
and
I want.
Watch sports. Underwear. Socks.
Socks.
That's
shirts. My guys have had the same list for 20 years. A couple dozen Pro Vs, a couple dozen golf shirts, perfume
boring.
Maybe, some socks, and that's it. I'm good.
What do you need with 24 golf shirts?
Seriously.
No, a couple dozen golf
shirts. No, a couple dozen.
Okay.
A couple dozen golf balls and then some golf shirts.
Okay.
Like, Ross, you know your fiance is huge into plants.
Yeah. And
so
I'm not.
See, you don't need it anymore.
You guys, would you just let me finish?
No!
Well, fine, then I'm not going to help you.
No. I need you. I need you.
Nope.
I am not fueling.
Nope.
She's being. What?
The Jumanji game round 3 that I have in my home
that's
right now.
Why?
You're even missing with her. But you're striking out with somebody you're not even buying for.
We don't know that yet.
Okay, hypothetically speaking here, me and Deb are in a relationship. I'm crushing it for Deb's.
Are you?
I am.
How? With what?
Because I know that you're super into Pixar. I would probably get some limited edition, like, Pixar shorts.
Wrong.
What do you mean, wrong?
Wrong.
Why are you Donald Trump in me?
Because I am wrong.
Sit down. My
you're a loser.
Gay.
Ted Cruz has a dog wife. No, because I like to see them on TV, but as a woman, I'm not going to hang that in my home.
But see, that's you're making our point. Like he thought that was a no-brainer with you. You can't lose buying you stuff like that, and you immediately shut him down.
Because
that's the point.
What I'm saying is, it's cursory attention you are paying. It's holy crap, he just tossed his jacket. Because you know I like a lot of Pixar.
Yeah, which are great.
And DreamWorks. See, you don't give enough credit to DreamWorks. It's just... Like Chris, the last couple of Christmases has bought me stuff with Harry Potter.
Okay.
Okay, I love Harry Potter.
Yeah.
I'm not going to wear stuff with Harry Potter.
Yeah, sure, of course not.
So the plant thing, going back to Olivia, I know the last thing you want is to get her another plant.
Yeah, I already did that.
So my suggestion is, what is it in the gardening world that would rock her world when it comes to taking care of her plants? So, is there a product out there that she's been mentioning she could use that she wants that would make life easier when tending to her plants?
Yeah, like a gardener.
Or a rugged fiance.
So those last two things are the same thing. All right, just going to throw that out there.
With your pumpkin cold brew?
Pumpkin cold brews.
Cinnamon on the top.
With the cinnamon.
It's filled with testosterone.
Okay, so what are you going to do?
What I'm pointing out here to Deb, this is where I struggle with, because I'm like, oh, maybe something like for the house. She loves the house. She loves homes. But then it gets real weird when I'm like, I bought us house paint.
Right, yeah, right.
Yeah, no.
And that's the same kind of vibe and problem that I run into. And I think a lot of guys out there also feel that.
Yeah, guys like practical stuff, women do not.
Guys
like practical stuff, stuff I can use, stuff I need. Women do not. Christmas is a time.
Because Christmas is once a year. I can get practical.
Never give your significant other a vacuum on Christmas.
Oh, my God. My mom can still remember with my father, her first Christmas, he gave her, like, cookie sheets.
Yeah, that's weird.
That's...
Well, I like cookies.
How about like a juice, like a Vitamix, or like a juicing machine or something?
Oh, we already have one.
Okay.
I already looked into it.
How about a nice coffee maker? Do you guys like coffee?
Get an espresso.
It's not for her, though.
How about
it's not
for really cool vintage coat?
So this is where
I
start.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah, shut your stuff down right quick.
How about a copy of Red Dead Redemption 3?
Let him get
That doesn't exist.
Oh, but if it did, it would
If it did, I think it would be great for her
fiance
to then go... You can have it.
Right.
Let's see how many of your wives have texted.
When it comes to fashion, the biggest fear, because I know I'm like, oh, she would look good in this. But then again, I also thought she would really like a telescope. And telescopes are cool until you open it up. And it's like, all right, this thing's pretty big. And she lives in a really small home. And it just stayed at my place.
Right.
Which is a sign of a failure.
Yeah, I agree with that. If she wasn't asking where it was every day, it's a failure.
I am. And then there's... when it comes to fashion, I struggle.
How about nice sunglasses?
Nice sunglasses. She's got cheeks. She got cheeks the size of Texas. She got big old cheeks. She's just cheek.
Okay.
So I know for a fact when it comes to sunglasses, which I have bought for her before.
Right.
And then what ended up happening was, is that I bought them day of, we went and returned it, which, by the way, makes me really comfortable. It does not.
Right, yeah.
So I was like, well, then just buy any pair of sunglasses in the store. And that's what ended up happening. Gift ruined. It's not gift not fully ruined, but like halfway ruined, because you want the experience of opening up that paper and then bang.
And you want her to like what you get now. You don't want to have to take it back. And inevitably, whenever I get something, I said, well, I kept this receipt in case you don't like it. You know, regardless of the money, because you never know what her personal and with my wife, it can change every 3 months. I think with almost every woman, it can change every 3 months. Something that she would have loved 6 months ago is something she won't even have in her house right now.
You crazy.
No, you're crazy. That's the problem.
No.
I say you're, I mean all women. I don't mean you, because you're cool crazy. Some of them are nuts.
The one gift, and we got to skedaddle. We're skedaddling after this.
Yeah.
The one gift, I was like, oh, I crushed it.
It's not you, is it?
I crushed it. I got her these awesome over-the-ear headphones.
Oh, nice.
Bose.
Nice.
Ooh, that's my favorite sound system.
So nice.
And?
She likes to work out without them because she gets sweaty.
Yeah, so big.
And I'm like, do I buy more headphones?
Does she have AirPods?
She does not have AirPods.
AirPods. She likes to work out. That solves the problem of having music, the ability to make a phone call, and she doesn't get sweaty. Boom. Shaka-laka.
You just shaka-laka to boom.
Mm-hmm. And then you find her like a gorgeous 1950s inspired dress, even if it's not something that would fit her or whatever. The thought that you bought her something mid-century, which you know she loves so much, that's going to go huge.
No, I think I'm going with Heelys.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Heelys. Yeah, Heelys, right?
Yeah, And a gun.
Heelys with a gun. So,
ball player.
So that's like a really cute, fun drive-by.
Oh, done.
You guys. You guys.
You know what Heelys are, Dad? You know what I'm talking about?
I know what Heelys are, and she's going to use them to kick it right up your ass.
Well, at least she'll, like, you know, use slip, possibly, you know? Those are your Ross thoughts. I'm out. Peace.
All right, 407-916-1041. Back in a second with more of the Jim Colbert Show.
Instagram. It's not just about food pics, but it's about food pics. At Real Radio 1041. Powered by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. Call 1-800-747-FREE. That's 1-800-747-3733.
From the club.
Let me ask you a question, Deborah. Are women aware of how difficult they are to buy for?
No, because we think we're easy. Guys are the ones that are difficult.
But you're not easy. I mean, you're not, though. I mean, it is.
If you paid attention.
Yeah. Listen, even when you pay attention, you guys change so much. You change what you like so much that I can pay attention. And a month after I've paid attention, the thing that you were in love with 30 days ago, you don't even want to be near.
Well, that doesn't describe me.
That happens a lot. It's very difficult, especially if you've been with someone for a while. My wife and I have been together 17 years. Jack's been with Naomi almost 30. You've been with Chris for 6 or 7 or 8 years. You've been with Olivia almost for 5 or 6 years. I mean, it's hard when you're around people all the time like that. And when you already get the stuff you kind of need, for you to compare, or any woman to compare a man buying for a woman to a woman buying for a man is ridiculous. I mean, it's ridiculous. Guys are so unbelievably easy to please. Yeah. It is a joke.
Yeah.
No,
my wife would come up with a list of 100 things that I could get right now and be perfectly happy.
You just said socks and underwear, so basically the same gifts you bitched about when you were 6 or 7 give to you when you're 40 or 50 and it makes you happy.
I listen to the difference between 6 to 7 years old to 40, 45, even 30. That's a lot longer of a time than, like, I don't know, 3 weeks. See how we changed our minds over 40 years?
No, not at all. You didn't change them at all. Yeah, you did.
And then you'll get those things, like, occasionally, what's the bracelet things that came around for a while, the charm bracelets? What are those things called?
What would Jesus do?
No, it's
not. I know what you're talking about, because the jewelry stores always show. But then again, you have to know that that's something that your woman would wear or want. If you just get it because it's a cute thing on the commercial, she says, "Oh, that's cute," and you think that if you think that's cute means buy that for me.
I know, but
you're not paying attention.
That broke me.
Well, you might say that's cool. Doesn't mean you want it in your house.
No, that usually means I want it. If I find something like, "Oh, damn, that's pretty cool."
Let me give you an example. I could buy for these two today. Yeah, I could buy his Christmas and his Christmas, and it wouldn't even take me 20 minutes to do it.
Yeah, same here.
Without question. That's what I'm talking about. You, no chance. Well, you're easier. Because I can do miniature stuff with you. You have a lot of interest. Art stuff with you goes a long way. But that's just that's me to you as a friend.
Right.
Like, I'm not with you. So Chris buying stuff like that is
different.
It's
less pressure on him buying for you than it would be on your significant other.
And you can't give money.
If you call me, guys, and say, listen, I've got this, or I'm thinking, like, Jimmy, if you had called me with that pea coat, I would have said, do not get her a pea coat. Now, if you can find that exact same pattern in a longer coat, she will wear that, but not a pea coat. A pea coat really only appeals, it's a certain shape, so only a certain shape can really pull it off. Those two times Tori put it on, realized, this doesn't work for my body shape.
Can I buy the pea coat off of
you? I think she still has it. You want it?
Yeah, I'll buy.
I'm dead serious. It probably fit Olivia perfectly. I mean, Tori and Olivia are about the same size, aren't they?
Yeah,
half price.
I'll be honest with you, the one thing that Olivia got from your wife, she loves.
Which was?
COVID.
No. she's not going to, whatever, still going to do
it's
it.
It's too late. You got to lean in now.
It was like a random pelt.
A pelt?
Yeah.
A pelt?
Yeah, it was like a piece of fur.
But wait, she doesn't.
Is it like
her.
A stole?
She doesn't. But her logic, I'm so sorry, babe. Her logic was that it was given to her.
Okay. It's not real fur, though. It doesn't. It may have been.
Yeah.
She hate rabbits?
You're outing your vegan
girl. Oh.
Does she hate rabbits by any chance?
She hasn't worn it this winter yet.
Okay.
But I do know.
And listen,
she's a fan.
Let me tell you something. That came with a nice bowl of soup.
Wouldn't it be?
Well, that's a very 50s. That's a very mid-century thing.
She loves mid-century stuff.
And mid-century women in the 50s and 60s, the fur coat was the statement piece.
It's not a fur coat. It's like a fur.
It's a stole, but it's made out of fur. It's a stole. Stole is a small, it's almost like a shawl that just covers the shoulders. That's called a stole.
Yeah, does it come with a muff?
Oh, I'm sure she doesn't. I'm sure she's a modern girl. My God, you just spit on yourself, Bradshaw.
I'm with you guys. I think Jack's been drinking
Sweet
today.
Jesus. I think he's been vaping and drinking. His hair's all effed up. He's got JBF hair. He can't even talk.
Jack and I had a meeting today with the boss about something, and he was sitting there all cocky.
Well, now he's not anything. I don't even think he should drive himself home.
Is it a muffler? That thing
no,
that you put your
muff.
Hands
it's
in.
Called
it's
a muff.
It's a muff. Thank you.
Yeah, the thing you put your hands in.
Points.
Not that muff, Jack.
You can listen to his points.
Yeah, he's indignant. He's indignant.
Here, eat these potato chips so you can go home.
I'm going out of the box here. Out of the box.
Boy, okay. There's one euphemism after another.
Pet bird.
No.
It'll feel like it's in the jungle in your
Nothing
home.
In the Mm-mm. world makes a home feel like a home, like a screeching bird.
No.
I love it.
Extra pets.
Yeah.
Somebody did Fish suggest tank? A weasel garden claw if your fiance already doesn't have it for her gardening.
There will be no more animals. Because
no more not a fish?
No
fish. We had a fish. Rest in peace.
All right.
Why don't you get her some bulbs?
I don't even know what bulbs are.
Like flower bulbs, like daffodils or tulips or amaryllis.
Are those just baby flowers?
Hey, does she have vinyl?
Do you have
any vinyl?
Oh, God, you just brought up another bad memory.
Yeah, because isn't the player in the trunk of his car? The turntable?
God. Oh. Way to remember my lowest moment. Yeah.
What was worse, the turntable or the telescope?
Definitely turntables and a microphone.
You have a bad record with things that start with T.
Definitely the turntable. Definitely the record player. Because to keep everybody up to date, it was like months in. She goes ahead and says, "Yeah, my grandma's record player is broke," and I'm like, "Oh, got it. I'm gonna get her a real nice, like vintage record player
instead of fixing the one that her grandmother."
Well,
had?
Don't worry, because by the time I bought the record player and gave it to her, she already fixed it. So now I have this record player that never left my car.
It never did. It was.
I'll take it.
And that box looked like somebody threw it in the ocean.
Texter, this is a really interesting idea, especially because it's kind of got that mid-century feel to it, a vintage bar cart.
And I know exactly where to get one.
A vintage what?
I know exactly where to get one.
Ooh,
dude,
bar cart?
Listen, there's a place in on Orange Avenue right there, Ivanhoe Village.
Yep.
Right by the White Wolf Cafe?
There's a whole bunch of antique shop. It's actually not by the White Wolf. It's on the other side by that Greek restaurant, and it specializes in 70s, late 60s and 70s decor. If you could find like a bamboo, like one of those old bamboo 70s cart services with drinks, that would be pretty badass.
Hey, go to Renninger's Antique Market. That's another option there too, up in my neck of the woods. Also, to the person who texted us saying that you're acting like all women are the same, my wife's panties dropped when she opened a Dyson. Okay, that's because it's a Dyson.
Okay, thanks. I appreciate that.
Anything with the word Dyson, like all their hair care products.
Oh, yeah, good stuff.
You get her a Dyson.
Yeah, the hair curler.
Because
the
hair
curler.
Because they don't damage your hair. They don't use heat, so she's not going to be spending the same amount of money that she would when she goes to the stylist, because her hair isn't going to have as much damage as when you hit it with high heat products.
All right.
Does she like musicals?
Not, I mean, kind of.
She doesn't?
Yeah, yeah.
So say season pass to Dr. Phillips is a great gift.
Oh, that would be a great gift.
A season pass to see all the musicals coming up for the 2022 season would be a great gift.
Yeah.
But if she doesn't like it, and it's, you know, you have to buy two. That's the thing, is you have to buy two. Hey, I got us. So it's a gift for her, but if she doesn't dig it, because my wife used to do this with a friend of hers a few years back when they first opened the center, she would buy that six. They had three or six you could buy. She would buy that entire season pass for her and a friend.
All right. Well, what about retro? What about like a Schwinn?
Oh, like a bike? Excellent idea. With a basket on the front and the ding, ding, the little bell on it.
They make new ones that look like that, too.
Yeah.
So you get newer technology and newer components with a retro look.
That's a great idea.
And believe it or not, I believe like that. There are a number of places that do that.
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
We'd be just popping wheelies like we're ripping through
Capri man, you know what?
Suns back in the day.
She would be tough.
She's a tough one. No brands, no brand loyalty.
Tough bird.
You drink your water and shut up.
No brand loyalties. No, if I got her something high society,
Louis Vuitton.
If you get her a Louis purse, she'd be pissed off.
She would not be about it.
No, because
what's the most you could spend on something like that she wouldn't feel uncomfortable? Like a couple $100?
I don't even think.
It's the price.
It's the price. It's more so of just like the...
She just doesn't want to be part of that world.
Yeah, it's not her thing. But she also wants to look like Louis Vuitton.
Uh-huh.
I'm telling you, go to a thrift store and you look and find some... Like, in that same area that Jimmy was talking about, to find a really cool bar cart from mid-century, they also have some really cool handbags, hats... Some really cool vintage clothes.
Do you feel obligated to get her something feminine? Like, do you think that it should be specifically like a female gift? Like somebody said something. She does love the garden, and they do make this really cool little thing. It's like a wagon, and it has a chair on it.
Yeah,
and then all of your gardening stuff goes inside, and you pull it out to where you're in a garden, and that way you have a place to sit. All your stuff is there. I mean,
I was saying earlier.
Does it have to have like a female thing to it?
I just don't want. No, it does not. Let me answer that question. What I'm afraid of, like gardening tools or anything like that, which she already has, I think, all of her gardening tools.
Mm-hmm.
But anything that's like, all right, now to use it, you have to be productive or you have to. Time to get to work. Last thing I want anybody to feel.
How about a piece of furniture, like a vintage piece of furniture, a chair or something like that?
So that kind of runs into the same problem that I have a little
There's no room.
With the bar cart.
Yeah, there's no room in the house.
There's not that much. We're kind of fully stocked. I'm team, like, we got to get one of these chairs.
Or people.
Or people.
Does she have a favorite book? Do you remember the Friends episode when Chandler made the best move ever? And bought Joey's girlfriend the children's book that she talked about loving as a kid, and then
Oh, yeah.
Does she have anything like that?
I teared up on that one. That was a good one. It's a very special episode of Friends.
It was. She's his lobster.
I missed that one. More of a Seinfeld guy myself.
Yeah.
But the problem with the bar cart is, A, too much stuff, and then also that's something for the house that I feel like I would be... more likely to buy throughout the year.
How about a vacation? Like go on a cruise in March, late February or March or something. You just buy and say, hey, we're going on a cruise.
Yeah, that could work.
I mean, that's not bad. It's a little pricey, but I mean, it would it's a getaway for you guys.
It's an experience.
It's an experience.
You know, there's a yoga resort in Costa Rica that she would probably love
to go solo.
this guy's acting like a pharaoh over here.
I don't know, a ferret.
How about a horseback riding experience?
I have already kind of looked into it.
Yeah, horseback,
there's one on the beach.
Riding experience is kind of cool.
Popka
has a bunch of like backwoods where you can go out for hours and do a picnic in the whole nine yards.
But I promised myself.
You've done that. You guys have when you were in Banff, you rode.
Yeah, we. I rest in peace, Chester. I don't know if he's alive, but he was really old when I rode him.
Don't put him in the grave, man. Jeez. Let Chester live his life.
You rode him?
Let Chester live his life.
I don't know, man.
Broke back there.
I've never, you know, drove something that I thought was like, oh, this thing needs a DUI.
Does she like music? Okay.
Not a whole bunch.
I was going to say, buy her a nice stereo for a truck. I could install it for you.
What is Jack? What is going on with Jack?
Don't know.
Can we return him and get the old Jack?
Not paying attention to him. When he gets like this, it's annoying. I don't pay attention to him.
How about a bird bath or a fruit tree? Bird bath. I still have a bird bath that I got from my best friend for Christmas about 20 years ago. I've dragged that through 4 different homes. It goes right in front of my bird bath.
How about a couple manatees on
the side of it.
A couple ounces of really good Coke.
Ooh, some really good dank.
What?
Good joke, okay, yeah.
Some jank Chiba.
Now you have stage 5 jackinitis. You're jacking.
I'm not jacking.
Jack is easy.
Jack is the only one that can jack.
There's a new pandemic that has broke out here over at iHeartMedia.
Jack is the jacker.
It's a jackademic.
It's a jackademic.
It's a jackademic.
Show title.
Everyone's acting real goofy. I'm trying to get serious.
Ooh, someone else said, take that vintage bar cart and turn it into a potter's bench.
Okay. I don't even know what that is.
What a great idea. God, you just get her a guillotine.
So we can ghost? If I buy her a potter's bench?
No, it's
or
a potter's bench. It's not a potter's wheel. A potter's bench is what a gardener uses to pot their plants.
I'm just proud that the two shared a word.
A potter's wheel is that thing that you kick to shape and form
your clay.
Like in
the movie Ghost.
Like in Ghost.
Let's get real stereotypical here. All right, can you do jewelry? The standard, like all women love jewelry.
Mm-hmm.
Like all women love jewelry. You can, yeah.
No.
I feel like it depends on
the jewelry.
On what the jewelry is and how much jewelry that individual already has.
Right.
And
how much jewelry they wear.
Yeah.
Does she have jewelry?
She got a lot of jewelry.
How about watches? She have a nice watch?
She got an Apple Watch. I crushed that. There's one. I'm 1 for 9. 1 for 9 when it comes to gifts. So I was thinking about horseback riding on a beach, and I also thought selfishly how funny it would be if I just went shirtless.
Yeah.
And
it'd
we rode.
Funny. Chester would be pissed.
Yeah, Chester would be like, nah, he's cheating. Or boo, he's cheating.
Or she would just ride ahead of you.
She doesn't collect anything?
Wait, you guys didn't get that.
No. He's back there. I don't know where he is. He's way back there.
I don't know who that guy is, but he keeps following us.
Does she collect anything? Like, is she a Pokemon or anything? Oh, man, I'm stretching here, buddy. This is how hard it gets. I started saying Pokemon.
Thank you. He said Pokemon. Yeah. Well, what about, I'm not the only one in this situation, Jack.
I'm not getting into this misery.
Yeah, and I'm not telling you what I'm getting my wife for Christmas.
Yeah, you're not going to hear me cry on the air because I break down 4 times a year.
You weren't stressing out or anything?
You're stressing out.
I'm sure I'll stress out when I really start focusing on what I'm getting my wife for Christmas.
Oh, here we go. Ross can do a boudoir photo set.
Of you to give to her?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's now we're talking.
Write the check.
Me?
That's done.
Wearing only but Heelys.
Butt Heelys?
On my feet.
What's a butt Heely?
No, not a butt Heely.
You just said nothing but butt Heelys.
No, I'm
no. Oh, nothing but Heelys.
I'm butt naked.
Well, someone else had a very risque suggestion. Texted to us at 77031. Get your woman a marital aid, as they used to be called, molded just like you, for when you're out of town or working late, and she's all by herself.
A replica Ross?
Yes. She can take out a sock.
Of my junk?
Do me a favor.
Okay, I tried to keep it.
If you do that.
Yeah.
If you do that.
I have to bring it in.
No. I'm coming to the house when she opens it. There is no way I'm missing that when that sweet woman opens this. And I'm like, oh, Mom, look what Ross gave me. It's a vibrating hymn.
And then his mom goes, where's the other half?
You could put RP at the base.
Oh, look, it's a shrimp.
You can do that?
Yeah.
I kind of remember. Yeah, you can.
You'll plaster. They send you a plaster thing. You
plaster
do the
Paris.
Plaster. You get yourself where you got to get yourself. You put it in there, and you let it harden up, and you send it back, and they send you one that looks like you.
That is awesome.
Is it? Is it? That's an odd thing to say awesome
and
to.
Then what is it? It's just made out of like rubber or?
No, Ross, it's made out of concrete.
Latex. Concrete. Yeah.
Concrete. Concrete and old tires.
Oh, listen, this is such a good time to mention another text. Hey, JCS, I live in Oviedo, but I'm listening to you now in Bangkok. Thanks, iHeartRadio app, damn. Steve.
Wow, Steve.
Think he's there for more than one night?
Yeah. I don't know. Well, if that's the song.
I mean, I'm not getting the whole plaster thing off of like wish.com.
No, yeah.
Nope. This has got to be a respected company. I'm not doing that.
They're not getting you.
We'll just get you some silly putty and you can just slap it right on there. We'll pour some plaster in it. Big bam boom, you're done.
You pour plaster on it or no, do you American pie it?
You American pie it.
Yeah, you'd have to.
Yeah.
And that's got to be tricky because it's going to be cold.
Well, yeah, it's going to be cold.
Well, then it kind of warps. Well, then it warps it. They got a weird business model over there. I'm going with Heelys.
407-916-1041. Bud Heelys? 77031. Load them up for last call. Let's get out of here.
Make us think or make it funny. Just make it good. Get on board now for last call on the Jim Colbert Show. 407-916-1041. Colbert.
You're a funny guy, Bradshaw.
He's on one.
He is on one.
It's a good song, though.
Welcome back to the Jim Colbert Show. 407-916-1041. Can you name the band?
Oh,
damn it.
I wouldn't have been able to.
Can you name the band? Can you name the band? I think it's Murray Head, isn't it?
It is Murray Head.
Good job, Jimmy.
Interesting song, too, when you listen to the lyrics. It's kind of a novelty. All right, welcome back to the Jim Colbert Show, Real Radio 104.1. Jim, Deb, Jack, and Ross all here for you. How did your clown show go last night?
Oh,
I will tell you straight up, it was arguably hands down the most meaningful set of stand-up comedy I've ever done, and I went into it, and I'm going to break down some details, because I did say some inappropriate things, but you have to understand that this guy was also kind of notorious for being inappropriate. One of his last Instagram posts was saying, sometimes vulgarity is the best option.
Okay.
And I think my opening joke, this is insane. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, I did comedy / a eulogy for a clown who unfortunately went through a depression and did not make it through it. And I'm telling jokes in front of about 150 magicians and other sideshow acts.
I know how he did it.
Yeah, so many goatees.
Oh, yeah, a lot of goatees.
I remember, I think one of the opening jokes I said was like, guys, give yourself a round of applause because this is the closest we'll ever get to actually having a Hogwarts.
That's great. I'm glad it went well.
I talked about, I'll say this too, I talked about his cute little butt.
Okay,
part of his act, he would always show his butt, and it was the smallest.
All right, little baby ass.
Little baby butt cheeks.
Well, I'm glad it went well for you, man.
It was good. A very special night, and it also kind of changed my definition of what I want my gathering after my life to be.
Mm.
It was really, really cool.
All right, 407-916-1041. Yeah, we may talk about that a little bit tomorrow because that's an interesting concept because there's a lot of things out there. By the way, last call, we have four lines open, 407-916-1041. Something short, fun, a little joke, whatever the case may be. Get us out of here. Again, that's 407-916-1041. Four lines are open. Deb, who do we have to thank today? What were we going
to say? Well, first, I would like to thank all of the listeners who've been texting in great ideas for you guys and myself when it comes to Christmas presents. Mm-hmm. Everything from cooking classes for couples to zip lining and fun things.
Yeah, sure. All that's good.
Don't look at me like I have a mouthful of ass. No, I know exactly what you're...
I mean, the thing is, I am a... Anything is valuable because they're so hard to buy for. I'm like, I'll listen to anything.
We want to thank Brendan O'Connor and attorney Glenn Clausman of Clausman Law. Santa Clausman will be here next Thursday.
He will, for sure.
And the Thursday after. Jack, you feeling okay?
He's laughing. I'm good.
What are you laughing at?
I've had coffee.
Is that all it is?
Yeah, I had coffee now.
Because I got to go home.
All right, 407-916. One line open. Ross will get those set up. We'll do last call here in a second.
Tomorrow's Friday?
Yeah, coming up tomorrow, Primetime Kitchen, Amy Drew Thompson, Embers Only.
Pick the Porn. I'll
tell you about another great cigar, Pick the Porn tomorrow, Nicole Dupre tomorrow, and possibly Felicia Spencer, a friend of ours from back in the day, MMA fighter on Facebook today, hung up her gloves after a big win at UFCF just a couple weeks ago.
Apparently obliterated her opponent.
Yeah, UFC, I should say. Fought the cyborg and almost beat her. I mean, just look, she's been a monster. My son trained with her years ago when she was just a teenager.
Damn.
And she's come such a long way, and she's such a good person. But I want to talk about that whole idea of setting a goal, achieving that dream, and then once you achieve it, the ability to walk away from it. A lot of people don't have that. It's a little harder than people believe. Anything else?
Not that I can think of.
All right. Again, pick up the Jim Colbert Show spices at jimcolbertlive.com. They're available right now. I'll send them out to you, and it'll only take a few days. Again, that's jimcolbertlive.com. They're up and ready to go. You can order them today if you'd like. Here we go. Last call. Let's go with Brent. Brent, last call.
Hey.
Hey.
I got an idea for the Christmas shopping there, guys. I can't believe nobody's mentioned the day spa.
Yeah, the thing is, let me tell you something. The day spa is so played now, it's an insult if you get your wife one. Basically, what you're saying, Brent, and I appreciate this, I really do, but what you're saying to your wife is when you get a day spa thing that you couldn't think or didn't want to think of anything else. It's the ultimate cop-out gift for a male to a female.
It's like jewelry.
And quickly, I go ahead, buy a spa for my girl. Last year, they only focused on feet. And she thought it was the weirdest thing.
She should. Trent, last call.
Hi, Jimmy. You bald, hot-belly stallion. We love you. Thanks. You guys love the show. Have a great
time. Thanks, you Trent.
Too, Trent. You can call anytime. That was just weird. It made me a little hot.
Yeah, was that an inside joke? Yeah, I don't know. Established? Why do you know?
Is that a cowboy?
Listen, I'll take whatever I can get. It's fine. Mike, last call.
I mean, look at you.
Yeah.
Hey, guys. I get socks and underwear from my mom every year for Christmas since I was like 5. And I'm going to be 55 this year, and I'm getting socks and underwear. And I look forward to it.
Very good. You should.
Okay, so that's a legit gift to give you guys?
Yes.
Oh, it feels like you're treating your man like a little boy when you give him socks and underwear.
Every year, that's how I replenish my socks and underwear. I knew Christmas I was going to get new socks and underwear.
He buys his mom socks?
Larry, last call.
Hey, what's green with a little bit of yellow? And if you get it stuck between your teeth, you probably did.
I don't know, what?
A John Deere tractor.
That's not bad. Listen, not a bad one. You guys disrespected that. I stand for that one.
Beth, last call. Take us home.
I just want to apologize for yesterday. I know I was so screwed up.
Oh, Lord. Let's just call it good right there, Beth. You're fine at all times.
We love you.
You're good. All right. Yeah, like
you have nothing to apologize for, Beth.
All right. Let's get the hell out of here. Big Friday show coming up tomorrow. She is the absolute best.
She is the best.
On behalf of Deb, Jack, and Ross, I'm Jim. We follow the News Junkie. They follow the Monsters of the Morning after us. Tom and Dan with the Corporate Time and our friends from Real Laughs. We'll see you tomorrow at 3 for more of the Jim Colbert Show. Until then, have yourself a wonderful Thursday evening.
And go get yourself a little Beth.